should be in the mid-80s. Wednesday evening, cooler, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers in the evening, then partly cloudy after midnight with a low around 50. And Thursday, much cooler, mostly sunny, but a high only in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under clear skies, we have 71 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clear skies and 73 degrees. Stay tuned now. It's time for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, this is Jimmy Carter. Since 1982, Habitat for Humanity has been building houses and hope in the countries of Asia. But for hundreds of thousands of people, hope turned to despair last December when the tsunami struck. Lives, families, villages, entire communities were swept away. And those who survived the tragedy found their ways of life changed forever. When the water receded, Habitat was there, assessing the damage and making plans to rebuild. Today, Habitat building centers are being established to provide jobs, to teach new skills, and to offer people the dignity to rebuild not only their houses, but their lives. Our commitment, as always, is long-term. And we will build more than 35,000 houses in India, Sri Lanka, Thailand, and Indonesia over the next 2 years. I urge you to join me and support the work of Habitat for Humanity in your own community and around the world. Visit Habitat.org.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Since we first asked that question several weeks ago, we've learned that some people can't live without Liz, while others jump for joy about Jackson & Jackson. This is Charles Gere, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis. Send us a postcard or email of 100 words or less telling us why you listen to WGNU. You could win a package of free stuff from your friends at AM 920. Send your postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, 63108. Send your email to cgear@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings continue through Friday, October 28th. One entry per address, one prize per family. One winner announced each day during Today's Solutions with Dave Linehan, Monday through Fridays from 4 until 6. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at wgnu.net.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made.
you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal dignity.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Well, boys and girls, let me see. What is our letter for today? The letter for today is C. C stands for cronyism. Cronyism is what George Bush does every day. We now have a new recommendation to the United States Supreme Court. And she should just have a little scarlet C on the front of her black robes. And understand, children, C stands for cronyism, and C stands for capitulation, because that's what the Democrats have done. Harry Reid was so quick to run out there and just said, whew, thank you, Lord, I don't have to fight. Thank you, Lord, I don't have to struggle. Thank you, Lord, I don't have to act like I represent the interests of the people who have hired me. Thank you, Lord. He, you know what? And if you don't think what I'm saying is true or accurate or the correct observation upon his response, listen to the news. The news reports the differing opinions within the Republican Party. They don't even talk to the dang Democrats. There's no reason to. There's no story there. It's the same old story. Tuesday morning, first week in October, it's 6 o'clock, the Democrats must have capitulated. And George Bush must have appointed another crony. This chick has never been a judge before. Now, I know all of you, you mindless, stuck in a audio loop robots out there are going to say, Judge Rehnquist was never a judge before either. Well, enslavement used to be the law of the land. Just because we've done something before, just because we haven't done something before, doesn't mean that we are bound to do it again. it's not a good idea. Can it be done? Yes. Should it be done? No. This is a crony. The thing that this woman has been doing for the last, for a third of her career, over a third of her career has been spent, now mind you, working on the ethical issues for George W. Bush. Now, if that doesn't send a chill down, even the spineless got a chill down their spine over that. A third of her career has been spent defending George Bush against ethics charges and winning. Whoo! And she's going to be on the Supreme Court? She has no experience except the same experience that Brownie had. George Bush said the same thing about her that he said about Brownie. Done a great job. You've done a great job. These are scary times. And if I might, I don't really think that it's appropriate to talk about people's families. But when you are elected into office, and your words and actions have the power to impact upon our lives, we have to examine everything. If you are a political public figure, it's time to get it on. On October 17th, we're going to have a psychiatrist that analyzes George Bush. It's called Bush on the Couch. He's written a book, Bush on the Couch. And I've talked a little bit about the book, about the extraordinariness of the dysfunction in the Bush family. And one of the interesting things about it, because I didn't think that it was something that could be done. How do you analyze somebody from afar? How do you do that? That doesn't make any kind of sense. That was my thought. And actually, that has been my resistance to even considering the book. But the author spends about a chapter discussing the precedent for this. This is something that our country has done for decades and decades and decades. They do psychological profiles on elected leaders all over the country. There are psychiatrists that are all over the world. There are psychiatrists that are trained to do this. And think about this. And this is the thing that was just fascinating to me. If you were to go into a psychiatrist's office, and they would start asking you about your family, how you were raised, and whatever information that you have, you would give. Anything that you remembered, you would give. But it wouldn't necessarily be in a linear fashion. It wouldn't necessarily be chronological. You would just give what your memories were. But imagine if your psychiatrist had in his or her possession, when you walked into the office, books that had been written about your parents, interviews with friends of your parents, conversations with all of your relatives prior to you walking into the office. What kind of a thorough job would they be able to do on you? Because they would know stuff that you will never know. There are things that you will never know about your mom and dad, things that other people know. And if your psychiatrist had an opportunity to talk to those people, they would be able to help you. So when you think about it, this doctor has a whole lot of information about George Bush, and it makes sense that you would be able to glean certain things as a psychiatrist from the behavior and from the testimonials, the written evidence, all kinds of information that most psychiatrists don't have. So I'm down with it. I am very much looking forward to this interview on the 17th, Bush on the Couch. And I say that to say this. Yesterday on the show, we had Melanie Sloan. She's from Crew, and talking about unethical other congresspeople besides Tom, twice indicted, DeLay. And one of the things that she talked about was Roy Blunt, Matt Blunt's father. Now, you know, I don't want to put the dysfunctional jacket on everybody, but help me with this. Roy Blunt divorced his wife of 31 years to marry a senior lobbyist for Philip Morris. No, you know, that the world doesn't stop when a man decides to dump his wife after 31 years. The world doesn't stop. But what's fascinating and just out of the norm to me, this seems a little twisted. And again, help me with this because I've never been a son. I've only been a daughter. But I know how boys love their mamas. And let me ask you this. If your daddy, I'm talking to the men out there, if your daddy dumped your mama after 31 years and married some woman that he was has been working around, like shortly after dumping your mama of 31 years, would you, the son, go work for the woman that your daddy dumped your mama for? Would you do that? I mean, I'm only a daughter, and I can tell you that right now, that I wouldn't be working for the man if my mama were to have dumped my daddy after 31 years. I wouldn't go work for the man that she left him for. But that's what's happened in the Blunt family. The oldest son works for, is highly placed with the woman that he dumped his mama for, that his daddy dumped his mama for. And the man child, Matt, has taken money from her company. I just think that ain't right, isn't it? I don't know. And again, maybe, you know, what do they say? Politics makes strange bedfellows. I guess you kick your mama out and you just go where the money is. But that, to me, is some deep, twisted, and explains some stuff. If you that cold-hearted to your mama, I know you don't feel anything about it. I know Matt Blunt doesn't feel anything about Medicaid recipients not having nebulizers, not having hospital beds, not having bedpans. If you would take money in order to get elected from the job of the woman who your daddy left your mama for after 31 years, you a cold-blooded so-and-so, and you don't feel anybody's pain. Because every man I know let their mama pass their heart. And when it comes, trust me, let my mama pass their heart. And I don't care what happened, you don't. And mind you, they took the job immediately and took the money with both hands. I don't know, y'all. I don't think it should be just Bush on the couch. I think it should just be Republicans on the couch. Because that's some messed up stuff. That's some messed up, dysfunctional, and meaningful stuff. There's a reason why Matt Blunt doesn't feel nobody's pain. Because he has an agenda to get elected at any and every cost. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? Whew. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Poll shows that Bush ratings remain low, you think? 62% of the people said that they disapproved of the president's handling of the Iraq, up from 60% last week. Up from 60%. And all of this stuff going on in Iraq, and we're going to talk about that when we come back. Understand, these thousands of troops bombing these random cities in Iraq? Showtime, baby. They just trying to get you to look over here. Look over here at the war. Meaningless Showtime stuff. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back to discuss more dysfunction within the Republican Party and elsewhere. Stay with me. Yeah.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Eckert's Orchards. Route 100 is closed east of Highway M in Villa Ridge due to fallen wires. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit. Broadway, there's maintenance operations. That ramp's closed. You can use the 11th Street exit. Northbound 55 between Richardson and Weber. Everything looks good. Eastbound 44 from Lewis all the way to the Merrimack River Bridge. No problems there. Eastbound 40 from Chesterfield Parkway all the way into Lindbergh. Everything is running smoothly. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall to Blanchett Bridge. No problems there. Northbound 270 is bumper to bumper, however, on either side of 44. Westbound 270 from 367 to Graham Hanley, no problems to report there as well. Eastbound 70 from Bryan all the way into 79, look for slow traffic this hour. Westbound 5570 split at the PSB, the traffic is starting to build. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split, no problems to report there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from McLeod's Landing looks good. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, that approach is moving along steadily this hour. And in both directions over on the Illinois side, 255 at Camp Jackson, you can expect road construction. Northbound 55 between 143 and State Road, look for road construction. Right lane will be closed. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Eckert's Orchard. Bring your whole family to Eckert's this weekend for wagon rides, pick your own pumpkins, and a whole lot of country fun. Eckert's in Belleville, Grafton, and Millstadt. For more information, visit Eckert's.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. Wednesday, partly sunny with a 30% chance of showers. The high will be in the mid-80s. Wednesday evening, however, look for cooler conditions, mostly cloudy. A 30% chance of showers in the evening, partly cloudy overnight with a low around 50. And then on Thursday, much cooler, mostly sunny with a high only in the mid-60s. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge and most importantly the discipline to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps. Right. Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I sucked a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Great group discounts and hospitality packages available. Call 314-622-BLUE to book your reservation now.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, but get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. I'm thinking about all of those. There's been a major offensive that has been launched by the military. They give them such absurd, grandiose names. Operation Iron Fist, Operation Thor, Operation whatever. And we send these boys and girls out there to fight. And we're doing that, they say, in anticipation of the constitutional referendum that is coming up. And I can't help but think, first of all, that it's a manipulation, that there's been a ratcheting up. Because when you think about a ratcheting up of military activity, because when you think about it, George W. Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, et al., are completely in control of the military. They can make things happen in the military in a way that they can't make things happen in New Orleans or in Texas or with regard to FEMA. They can't control those things the way that they would like. I mean, not to say that they aren't doing some things. I mean, you can't fly. There's a no-fly zone over the oil rigs, so that you can't go out there, so that the media cannot go out there and see how damaged the oil rigs are. There's no fly zones over the oil rigs. I mean, they put incompetent people in collecting the bodies and identifying them, so we'll never know what the real death toll was. I mean, so they're working on containment within the Katrina Rita issue or situation, but it's a lot easier to control what's going on in Iraq. And I guess I want to just share this with you because it's hurtful that we are sending thousands of troops out to these cities that nobody knows, that very few people know the names of. Very few people I don't know if they are what our government says that they are, strongholds for the enemy. Don't know that. Don't believe that. But think about this as we're sending out thousands of troops. The Pentagon has not completed guidelines for allowing soldiers and their families and charities to be reimbursed for some combat equipment that they bought for use in Iraq and Afghanistan. This is a year after the program was instated. The sponsor of the original legislation, Christopher Dodd, a Democrat out of Connecticut, says that he plans to introduce an amendment to a defense bill this week to take the authority for the program from Donald Rumsfeld and give it to the military commanders in the field. The Pentagon had said on Friday, we're in the final stages of putting the reimbursement program together, and we're expecting it to be operating soon. But understand this, that the Pentagon said, now, families are sending their boys and their girls, their sons and their daughters, they're buying them vests, bulletproof vests. They're buying them one Sergeant Bowers, a Marine Corps reservist, said that a rifle scope and goggles that his father bought for him saved his sight when he was shot in the face by a sniper last October. His father spent about $900 for the equipment. The Pentagon has said, and I quote, the Pentagon opposed this program, saying that it would be a financial burden and would undermine the accountability and effectiveness of equipment used in combat. Can you believe that? Doesn't that just make you want to spit? Let me get this straight. The U.S. military is saying, yeah, our boys and girls don't have their vests and their goggles and their rifle sights, equipment needed to fight in a war. But we don't want to reimburse anybody for buying them, because that undermines the effectiveness of the equipment that they have now. You know what? You just need to shut up and sit down. Ain't that some stuff? The Pentagon opposed this program and has been dragging its feet for a year to reimburse families and charities that are buying equipment that the military should already have. I mean, think about the billion-dollar contracts that are going to Halliburton for $15 cans of Coke, Coca-Cola. And the military is dragging their feet and doesn't have a program in place a year later. It's outrageous. It is absolutely outrageous. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And I know that I am talking about Iraq, but I do want to share this. I don't know, y'all. I don't know. When I heard this story, I just wanted to. I'm going to tell you the story, and you respond to it. We've had hundreds of thousands of people displaced by Katrina, right? We've had tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars worth of contracts handed to Halliburton and Brown and Root, right? We have billions of dollars worth of construction needed in the New Orleans area, right? Guess who this administration is considering to do their $200 billion reconstruction package? Our good government is planning on going to India to get construction companies to come here and rebuild New Orleans. Did you discuss? Did you discuss? Yes, our good government is going to India, not Native Americans, India. They are approaching. Every construction worker in America should be losing their mind. Remember how black folks have said, you know, just because y'all ain't hiring us, understand that they're trying to get rid of all of y'all. They're trying to get rid of all of y'all. According to Atul Punji, the chairman of Punji Lloyd, U.S. companies have approached them to help with the building in New Orleans. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Let me do this. Let me do this. 454-0400. Let me get this car phone, and then we'll take a break. Jay.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
On my way to work, going across the bridge, I was just listening to what you're saying. I'm going to tell you what really got me really upset about this president. You know, I forgot that lady's name that was demonstrating about her son that got killed in Iraq.
Cindy Sheehan.
Yes. And then they turned around, she demonstrated, they locked her up. That is a disgrace and a slap in the face to all vets and soldiers that are fighting. But for your parents, if it wasn't for her to have a child to fight for this country, and then he died for his country, then turn around and the president lock his mother up? Man, he could have done my wife like that. By the way, I'm a vet, and I don't want my son ever serving in this military for anything. And after what I just seen for that lady, I feel really sorry for that lady, for them to lock her up like that, and her son died for his country.
That is something. That is absolutely something. You're absolutely right, Jay.
That is a slap in the face and a total disgrace.
You're absolutely right.
If you ask me, this whole administration needs to go to jail. Mm. To jail. Nowhere else. They need to go to jail. Because I hate all of them. All right, baby.
Thanks.
Have a nice day.
Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break, folks. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We're going to take a break. We have much to talk about. Stay with me.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline London. A new UN report indicates that foreign investments in Africa are at too low a level to improve the continent's economic problems. The reports also show that what foreign investments are coming to Africa are concentrated in mining operations. Foreign investments have been on a downward trend now for almost 30 years. With less money flowing into the African economy, a decline in economic growth has ensued, and efforts to reduce poverty and improve living conditions have stalled. Presently, Africa is receiving about 3% of foreign investment development money that's available worldwide, and that figure is down from a peak of 28% back in 1976. More foreign development capital would help all nations of Africa get away from having to rely on commodities and natural resources as its main source of revenue production. And Dateline Cairo. The Al-Qaeda terrorist network has posted a help wanted ad on the internet. Al-Qaeda is looking for employees in the area of communications. The ad appeared on a website that is frequently used by Islamist groups. The job description is listed as someone to compile statements on activities in Iraq, including audio and visual materials, which include gathering material from satellite channels. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Join the 5th Annual St. Louis Scottish Games and Cultural Festival on Friday and Saturday, October 7th and 8th, in Forest Park at Lindeland de Bolivar, just east of the Missouri History Museum. Friday from 5 to 11 p.m., witness the torchlight ceremony and calling of the clans. Saturday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., watch contests of skill and strength, dancers, musicians, and much more. To find out more, call 314-821-1286 or log on to www.stlewis.com. www.scottishgames.com. Something for Scotsmen and women from Radio Free St. Louis.
No prescription drug coverage? Now there's help. Introducing the Merck Prescription Discount Program. You may be eligible for discounts of 15 to 40% on Merck drugs, regardless of age or income. Call 1-800-50-MERCK to enroll. It's free to join, and there are no membership costs. The new Merck Prescription Discount Program. It's one more way Merck puts patients first. Call 1-800-50-MERCK.
This is your Vanguard Insight on expense ratios. With mutual fund expense ratios, the smaller the number, the more money you keep. Ratios that start with whole numbers? Not good. If you see a decimal point first and then the numbers? Better. Expense ratios too high? Connect with Vanguard at 1-888-VANGUARD or Vanguard.com.
Mutual funds are subject to risk. Call for a fund prospectus, which includes investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and other information. Read and consider it carefully before investing. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement. Saturday, October 15th, 2005 in Washington, D.C. St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March, the Millions More Movement.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
And know the strength of truth. In every song, there is a memory, a standing tall, the proudest we could be. I cannot fall, for I recall we were born in majesty.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll free, long distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Okay.
How are you?
I got into a discussion the other day briefly with somebody about this guy was saying, oh, America's too tough. They can't attack America. And my statement to him was they don't have to. They're going to do it through the attrition. Do you know I called my mortgage company last week? And this lady answered the phone, Liz, you'll believe this. And I couldn't understand what she was saying. I said, I don't understand. So I called back. I said, well, maybe I'll get somebody different. I called back, and I asked this lady, I said, ma'am, I don't understand what you're saying. And I said, matter of fact, who am I talking to, and where are you? Do you know she told me India?
Mm.
As the Lord looking at me now, Liz, she said, India. I said, India, you know, Liz, with all of these people out of jobs, I don't get the picture here. And, you know, the first thing my husband and I was talking about, we thought about was, hey, the Ku Klux Klan for years, Liz, ever since I was a young girl, and I'm 61, was always talking about black people this, black people that. I don't hear nothing from them now. Do you understand that?
Well, no, I heard from Bill Bennett the other day.
Oh, that racist.
Well, I heard from Bill Bennett the other day. I don't know. I mean, the organizational structure has changed. I think that they only use their outfits for, you know, weekend or formal affairs. But the fact of the matter is that ideology and that worldview and that agenda is still there.
Yeah. It's not as vocal.
It can't be as vocal as it was. It can't be.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, the laws are not in their favor. When they were vocal, the laws were in their favor. The courts were in their favor. As many black people didn't have law degrees as they have today. So, yeah, I mean, no, they can't say, I mean, Bill Bennett said an incredible thing. And then to me, that demonstrates that the Klan mentality is out there. Yeah, Bill Bennett said that every black woman that gives birth to a child is giving birth to a criminal.
Yeah, I heard that statement. I said, oh, he's saying every black child. Well, so I guess all these people, these white people running around here taking meth and creating havoc, I guess they still consider them, you know, okay.
Thanks
but
for
black,
you.
But the problem with America is black people. But now we don't own these factories and own companies, Liz.
Oh, yeah, we own companies. We don't own all of them. But
what I'm saying is, who you see going out of the realm of the United States is not us. We're not creating this havoc in the U.S.
Thanks for your call, okay. Dolores. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Ike.
I'm calling about the guy who tells a veteran about his son going to the military. And I'm the same way. I'm a war vet. And it's been 45 years since myself been out of there. But these people buying this armor or equipment for their sons, that stuff is okay. But you're 200 meters away, you can get killed. That appears that. Usually people take a headshot, but they won't tell you that on TV. Because them flight jackets don't mean hill of beans.
Well, I can't imagine that there's no circumstance that a flap jacket wouldn't help you in. I can't imagine that that's true. I understand that. You're saying that they shouldn't wear them at all.
They shouldn't wear them. To me, they're just a lot of weight. My CEO says you all guys don't need that. It's weight you down and slow you down.
But how many years ago were you wearing them?
Liz, they're the same. I did not wear them every time on the fire mission.
I see.
It all depends on where you at.
Okay, and again, you know what? If a parent wants to buy that for their child, and if their child wants to wear that, then they should be able to do that.
Yeah, I didn't say that, Liz. I'm saying there were people jumping there like it's a lifesaver. It is not.
I don't hear people saying it's a lifesaver. I think people are saying
they don't know, Liz.
But here's the thing.
And he went to Desert Storm in the Gulf.
Here's the thing. The government is saying that
they're supposed to buy them, not the parents.
My point is that the government is saying that this is part of your equipment. But we don't have them. So parents are buying them for their children because they're supposed to be part of their equipment.
That's right.
And they should have a choice.
I'm trying to say this as an insult to me as a parent to go buy my son something. That woman, Sheehan, got locked up and her son was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then here he showed a man on TV, you remember, got hit with about 500 yards. It just knocked him down. He was just fortunate.
All right.
So usually take a headshot. And then I've been waiting 45 years. And they ain't paying nobody, Liz. This is a joke.
All right. Thank you, Ike. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Okay, I want to say something about this meth. Throw some out there for the listeners. As you know, a few months ago, when they start taking the cold medicine off the shelves at Walmart and all that, and you know, and everybody know meth is basically a white used drug, a white population used drug. What I want to say is, why don't they go to the stores and do the same thing as far as the baking soda that the people use to make crack, and also the little baggies? There's some stores right now that's selling single sandwich bags. You going there right now? They sell single sandwich bags. And come on, you know what that's for?
No, I didn't until you just said that. So.
Well, I just want to let you know that you got some marks running around here selling single sandwich bags for the sole purposes for using drugs.
All right.
I just want to throw it out there.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. Barbara.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, Liz, this is Barb Chicario. I don't know if you remember me, but we've met before. I'm with the Gateway Green Alliance.
Okay.
And we are we belong to a corporation that actually bought this building on Cherokee Street. And it's one of the buildings that was raided during the 2003 conference on biodevastation when we had Lee Wanika come. I don't know if you remember any of this.
You know what, Barbara? I'm going to have to hold you over to the next hour.
Okay, because I have something I need to tell you.
Okay. All right. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the wake-up call. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
The people who love peace all over the world.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight, remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. A major U.S. military offensive is underway in the Euphrates River Valley of Iraq. That's a region where 20 Marines were killed back in August. ABC's Tom Rivers reports from the Foreign Desk.
Operation Rivergate is designed to flush out extremists in three key Sunni towns where the insurgents called the shots and where it's too dangerous for any Iraqi forces to even attempt to patrol the streets. But without any long-term presence, the effectiveness of such operations is questionable as the insurgents float back into town soon after the troops have departed.
U.S. military officials also confirmed 4 soldiers and 1 Marine were killed yesterday in separate incidents. Mixed reaction on both sides of the aisle to Supreme Court nominee Harriet Myers. Rich Lowry with the National Review believes after all is said and done,
I think she'll probably be confirmed very easily. And I think Democrats who might be inclined to take a shot at her on the cronyism ground are walking a tightrope.
No date yet for confirmation hearings to begin. Federal safety investigators in Lake George, New York, get their first look at the tour boat Ethan Allen today.
Today is going to be our first day actually examining the vessel itself.
NTSB Vice Chairman Mark Rosenkirk. The boat, filled with elderly tourists, capsized Sunday afternoon, killing 20 passengers. Ford Motors says it will appeal a jury award in Brownsville, Texas, $30.4 million, to the family of a 16-year-old killed when their Ford pickup truck crashed last year. The Nobel Prize in Physics is a 3-way award to Americans John Hall and Roy Glauber and Germany's Theodor Hensch for their work in the study of optics. And 55 years after its release in theaters, the Disney animated classic Cinderella, digitally enhanced, comes out on DVD. This is ABC News.
No prescription drug coverage? Now there's help. Introducing the Merck Prescription Discount Program. You may be eligible for discounts of 15 to 40% on Merck drugs, regardless of age or income. Call 1-800-50-MERCK to enroll. It's free to join, and there are no membership costs. The new Merck Prescription Discount Program. It's one more way Merck puts patients first. Call 1-800-50-MERCK.
It was a Tuesday, colder and darker than a hockey puck, and I had to get a message out before sunrise. Though old man Winter mocked me, I wouldn't be denied.
What'd you do?
I threw back a set of sheets with a thread count higher than the stars and slid off a mattress that held me like a woman and emailed them from the hotel room.
Brand new beds, same old beaten path. Fairfield Inn, for travelers who know.
The rules of the road.
It's the Marriott way.
There's now a second indictment against Texas Congressman Tom DeLay.
The new charge against Tom DeLay is money laundering and comes less than a week after another Texas grand jury accused him of conspiracy. Both indictments are the result of allegations that DeLay funneled corporate campaign contributions to Texas office seekers in violation of state law. But defense attorney Dick DeGaron told reporters the process was entirely legal.
The law was followed. No law has been broken.
He believes a judge or jury will agree.
We're going to court. We're going to win.
DeGaron says the grand jury was misled by a Texas prosecutor who's out to get the former House Republican leader. Bill Greenwood, ABC News, Washington.
The 7 Mile Bridge into and out of the lower Florida Keys is closed until at least tomorrow night after a gasoline tanker truck collided with an SUV, killing both drivers. A passenger in the SUV was airlifted to the hospital. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a Sunset Hills teen is charged with the murder of a Lindbergh High School student. 17-year-old Alexander Sterling faces charges of first-degree murder, rape, arson, armed criminal action, and tampering with evidence in the death of 16-year-old Aaron Mace. Mace's body was found Friday inside a burned-out SUV in South St. Louis. Sterling is being held without bond. Those with little or no insurance in St. Louis are getting help with their health care. Local and federal politicians yesterday announced an affiliation between a group of primary care clinics and health centers in the region. Officials say the new affiliation between St. Louis Connect Care and the Grace Hill and Myrtle Davis health centers will increase the number of direct service providers for patients and improve health care delivery. The new health care network was made possible thanks to a donation totaling more than $7 million. October is Crime Prevention Month, and one group is spreading the word about how to stay safe. Mike Perenzino, the president of Throw Away the Key, says walking in groups and locking your doors are just some of the simple things that can be done to reduce crime.
And all those common sense solutions. But the best way to reduce crime rates further is to keep dangerous people behind bars longer. So it turns out it's not such a complex solution. We know who the criminals are. We've already convicted them. And if their sentences were longer, we'd all be safer.
Perenzino says two out of three criminals who are released reoffend within 3 years. He says people need to write to their legislators and get them to push for stricter punishment for criminals, especially for those who reoffend. In sports, Matt Morris will be the Cardinals' starting pitcher for Game 3 of the Division Series against the Padres, according to manager Tony La Russa. Morris gets the nod over Jason Marquis and Jeff Supon despite an 0-5 record and 7 starts dating back to August 30th. He is, however, 4-1 with a 2.55 ERA in 12 career games against San Diego. Morris will pitch Saturday against former teammate Woody Williams at Petco Park. Thursday's Game 2 at Busch Stadium will pit the Cards' Mark Mulder against the Padres' Pedro Astacio. Finally this hour, with the Rams experiencing injury woes at tight end, Cam Cleland is expected to sign a contract with the team and be on the practice field tomorrow. The 30-year-old veteran spent the 2003 and 2004 seasons with the Rams and caught the game-winning touchdown in last season's playoff victory in Seattle. Cleland would be replacing tight end Roland Williams, who will need season-ending surgery after dislocating his right knee in Sunday's loss to the Giants. Starting tight end Brandon Manumaleuna missed Sunday's game with a knee injury of his own, but head coach Mike Martz says he is close to returning. The Rams battle the Seahawks at the Edward Jones Dome this Sunday, with the winner taking over sole possession of first place in the NFC West. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Fazoli's. Stop by Fazoli's and try a baguette. Delicious new oven-baked sandwiches served on ciabatta bread and served wrapped, perfect for on the go. Better get a baguette only at Fazoli's. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the International Star Registry. Eastbound 44 before 141, your stalled tanker truck has been cleared to the right shoulder. There are no delays. Northbound 55 between Carondelet and Russell, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 all the way to Mason Road, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from Cave Springs to Blanchett Bridge, it's running smoothly. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, expect slow traffic this hour. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road all the way into 79, look for slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 40 is slow in pockets from Ballas all the way to Hanley. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the PSB. You can expect slow traffic. Westbound 64 at Ball Avenue. Look for a little bit of slow traffic all the way into 5570 split. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Cleeds Landing is flowing smoothly. Northbound Route 3 onto the PSB looks good. And let's see. Route 100 is restricted east of Highway M in Villa Ridge due to an arcing power lines. The police say that it's open to cars, but trucks cannot get through. Sulphur Springs at Big Bend, there's a report of fallen power cables as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by International Star Registry. International Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list. It's the ultimate gift, International Star Registry, at 1-800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly cloudy skies today with a high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. Moving on to Wednesday, partly sunny, a 30% chance of showers. The high in the mid-80s. Thursday evening, cooler, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers in the evening. Then partly cloudy after midnight with a low around 50. Thursday, much cooler, more sunny, mostly sunny, with a high in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are showing 71 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field has 73 and partly cloudy skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. We are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net from Xenia to Zimbabwe. We are there. You also, if you want to, you can always, if you missed an hour, go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org. The shows are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. You can also iPod me. You can do that at whiterosesociety.org as well. We have much to talk about. Let me get back to Barbara. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes.
I have a story. Now, I'll make it as short as possible, and I don't know if I have a certain amount of time I'm allowed to speak. But I have something that I need to tell you that I'm really concerned about that I wanted to get out on the public airways. I'm with the Gateway Green Alliance, and we're part of a corporation that formed a group called Camp Community Arts and Media Project. And we own a building that we've been rehabbing for 3.5 years on the corner of Minnesota and Cherokee Street. And it was one of the buildings in 2003, I don't know if you remember, but during our biodevastation conference, there were two buildings that were raided by the police.
Yes, I remember.
And I think you might remember Lee Wanika, who actually spoke on your program. He was from Zambia, and he was talking about the concerns with genetically engineered corn that Monsanto was trying to push upon them, and they refused to take it.
Right.
Anyway, at the time in 2003, our building was raided, and they said that we had weapons, and you know we were terrorists, and all they found were roofing nails and materials that we were using for rehab. Since that time, we've been able to get an occupancy permit for the second floor, but not for the assembly use in the bottom, which we want to open up the bottom floor of our building for meetings and also for community purposes. We wanted to have a computer lab in there that the community could access. We have in the backyard, in the garage on Saturdays, we are running a bicycle program for kids to come in, you know, and not just give them bicycles, but teach them to repair bicycles and work on them, to give them the skills and the bicycles. Anyway, we've been having a tough time with the city getting our occupancy permit so we can get the bottom opened up. And at the hearings that we've had about that, the police have come and spoke against us having our building open up. And there was just bizarre things. They said that we didn't have enough bathrooms, which we do. We have 4 handicap access bathrooms that we put in. They said that
Who's the older person?
Craig Schmidt.
Okay.
And he's opposed to us opening also. Anyway, what's happened was over the last week or so, we've heard rumors, which we really haven't done anything about because they were rumors, but we have been, well, they weren't rumors. We've been approached by individuals that we cannot name, but they were telling us that the police have asked them to plant drugs in our building.
Wow.
And I guess they're not feeling real comfortable with doing this. And so the reason I'm saying this is because I'm really afraid it may happen, that they may do that. Last night when some of the folks, there are 2 residential apartments upstairs, and some of the folks came home from another meeting, there were police cars all around the building, and they quietly left and came back later, and they were gone. Nobody knows why the police cars were there. But
Who quietly left? The residents?
The residents. They had been to another meeting. They came home from the meeting, and before the police could see them, they saw the cars around the building, and they just quietly left.
Well, one of the things that there are a number of things that you could do, you know, and I don't feel comfortable in discussing them on the air, of things that you can do.
Okay.
But I think that this is a good step to put it out there.
Well, that's what I thought. We got to get it out to the public so that people know if this does happen, this is what's going on. Because the people in our building do not use drugs. We don't allow alcohol. You know, I mean, we're real nice people, Liz. We just don't do that stuff.
Well, why would Craig Schmidt be opposed to this?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure about Craig. The police, I think, are opposed because, you know, we've worked with the CAPCAR people and we support the
Civilian Review Board.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's bad blood that goes back to that 2003 raid. I'm only guessing about these things, but I'm a little bit scared right now. It's why I'm calling, and I just wanted to get this out on the air so that this is what's happening to us.
And again, what is the address of the building?
It's 3022 through 3026 Cherokee Street.
Mm. Okay.
Cherokee in Minnesota.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to do, Barbara. I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
I'm going to let Howard get your contact information. And there are a couple of things that you can do to protect yourself.
Thank you so much.
Okay. My
Thank
pleasure.
You.
And always keep us apprised here of what's going on, because that's really one of the ways to watch out, because this wouldn't be the first time that something like this has happened.
Uh-huh.
You know, people are set up all the time.
Right.
All over this city, people are set up all the time.
Right.
So it wouldn't be the first time. So let me put you on hold.
Okay, Liz, thank you.
And I'm glad for the people that came and told you that. I'm glad for the people that came and told you that they were being approached to do that.
Well, I am too. You know, I feel like we all have to speak out. That's our greatest protection.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
To serve as witnesses for each other.
Absolutely. And the fact that, to me, the fact that somebody came to you and told you that the police were fixing to do this or wanted them to do this is a testimony to your presence in that community.
Uh-huh.
Because if they didn't care about you, if they didn't think that you all were all right, if they didn't think that this was wrong, what they were being asked to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you were, if your building was a place where drugs were used, they wouldn't have come to you to tell you that.
Right.
They would not, because it wouldn't have mattered.
Right.
They know that what they're being asked to do is morally wrong and really, really, really wrong.
Right.
So I think that that's a testimony to what you all are doing out there, and I'm glad that you're going to put this out. And you got to ring the bell on this.
That's absolutely right.
That
was my first thought this morning. I got to get it out there.
Okay. All right, Barb, I'm going to put you on
okay.
hold. Okay. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Check out the website, Liz Brown, that's LizzBrown.com. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. This is something that we normally don't do on the wake up call. We really don't talk a whole lot about fiction on the wake up call, but I'm going to take a few minutes here to talk to an author, T.J. McGregor, who has written a book, Category 5, and I it's amazing how timely things happen for folks. Let's get to T.J. McGregor to talk about Category 5 and the research that she did for her novel. T.J., good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
Good.
Good. When did you start your research for this?
Long before Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
I actually wrote this book at the end of 2003 through 2004, mailed it off in between South failure of most structures. You know, pretty much what we saw in New Orleans, even though that was from, you know, the flooding.
And the characters in your book appear to have some of the some challenges that you know that some people it looks like some people had in New Orleans.
Well, what I found is that in I think 2003, the Army Corps of Engineers did a study on how long it would take to evacuate South Florida, which is where I live. So that would be three counties: the Keys. Actually four counties, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and the Palm Beach area. And they determined that it would take 66 hours. They don't even make, you know, issue hurricane warnings 66 hours ahead of time.
Wow.
So in my book, my characters decide to stay because it's just going to be a river of chrome from, you know, Key West all the way northward.
Like we saw with Rita.
Right. I mean, evacuation is a big problem.
Yes, it
is.
We
only have one or two roads out. I mean, in South Florida, we only really have two main roads that head north.
And in Rita, they had eight lanes, but for a long time, they were only using four of them to get out.
I mean, in Rita, I don't know what happened there. That you can't just say to people, okay, everybody evacuate, and then just let everybody, you know,
but then they didn't,
at the same time.
But they didn't even open up all eight lanes and make them all go in the same direction. That would have helped.
Also the gas situation.
Now, when you what made you decide to do this? I mean, it just seems so timely.
Well, I mean, I've lived in South Florida off and on since '63, so hurricanes is something we deal with between June 1st and November 30th every year. But I lived here when Andrew hit, and even though we in Palm Beach County weren't affected, I just found that whole thing horrifying. I thought, okay, this is one of my worst fears. And they always tell you to write fiction about what's your worst fear. So that was really why I wrote the book.
And how long has it been out?
It's just out. Actually, today's the official publication date.
Where are you going to be going to promote it?
I'm not sure. Wherever I need to.
At Halloween, it's all about the scare, the fright, the horror. For the most scare anywhere, come to Hollow Weekends at Worlds of Fun every weekend from September 24th through October 30th. We have five times the, and five times more. And you still get all of it. Hollow Weekends has five extreme haunts. Camp Gonna Get You With Your Hatchet. Carnival of Carnivorous Clowns. The Lore of the Vampire. The Fright Zone. And the new Dominion of Doom. Plus, all our coasters for one low price. So you can scare the
Jesus
out of yourself over and over again. One ticket, unlimited thrills. Hollow Weekends at Worlds of Fun. We've got the haunt that you want. Sponsored by Kansas City area Toyota dealers. Visit worldsoffun.com to book your reservation at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Taking off my shoes, jumping in the water, washing away these blues, down into the ocean, current takes hold, words already been spoken, tales already been told, hearts already been broken.
Welcome back. After technical difficulties, I'm Liz Brown. We're back on the air. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I want to get back to the caller that we had prior to our guest. I think that the caller, Barbara, talking about her concern about a building for the Gateway Greens, for the Green Alliance to do all of the things that need to be done in communities. This is in South St. Louis. This is on Cherokee Street. This is in the new 20th Ward. I think that you need to... that's the 10th Ward. That would be Greg Schmidt, 10th Ward. I think that we need a bit of a history lesson here. I think that we need a bit of a history lesson here. Understand that as a person of African descent, I am familiar. Not as expert as others, but I've done a little bit of research on the efforts that are utilized by the government to thwart the efforts of people who look like me to get justice things done. And one of the things that the community of African descent has always said is that, you know what, it's not just me. They're not just coming for me. They're coming for everybody that articulates some kind of dissent. We have talked about corruption in the St. Louis Police Department. Jerome Johnson is evidence of that. Pumping bullets into innocent babies. And then attempting to corrupt that child forever. It does not come as a surprise to me that there will be an attempt to shut down this Gateway Green building, and then the Greens need to do something about this. Because it's not just black folks. It's all folks. It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. Gateway Greens building, they want to open it. They want to get an occupancy permit. And their occupancy permit is being thwarted by the police. And an individual has approached, or several individuals have approached the Gateway Greens to say that, you know what, cops are trying to plant some drugs in your buildings. Heads up. Heads up. Heads up indeed. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're going to take a break. I'll be back for your calls and for your comments after this. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Westbound 270 at Chain of Rocks Bridge, all the way roadways are reopened after an earlier stall. Northbound 55 at Bayless, there's an accident reported in the left lane. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 between 55 and 44, stop and go. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 70 between K and Mid Rivers Mall, look for pockets of slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley, you've got pockets of stop and go traffic there as well. Westbound 40 at McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 203 onto the PSB, look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue to the 5570 split looks like it's sluggish there. Westbound Kingsbridge from the Illinois Bank all the way on to Laclede's Landing, it is running very slowly this hour. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, expect normal traffic. There's also some fallen power lines at Highway M and Villa Ridge due to arcing power lines, so the roads are restricted there. That's Route 100. And also Sulphur Springs at Big Bend, there's fallen power lines, and there's some restrictions there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Protect your car's engine with clean motor oil. Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and pick up Napa conventional motor oil for just $1.39 a quart. Napa, get the good stuff. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. Wednesday, partly sunny, a 30% chance of showers, high in the mid-80s. Thursday, much cooler, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are holding steady at 72 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field has 73 in partly cloudy skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement. Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C. St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191 or online at MMMSt.Louis.com. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March, the Millions More Movement.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
Imagine your life if you couldn't read. You'd be missing out on opportunities that foster creative growth and thinking in all you do. Your curiosity would turn to frustration and anger. Children born with a neurological disorder called dyslexia struggle with these feelings every day. The 32nd Degree Masonic Learning Centers for Children have made a promise to provide dyslexic students with free instruction in reading.
On October the 15th, we're walking to raise money to help children with dyslexia learn how to read and write. Children can't be cured of this, but they can overcome their challenges. We offer them one-on-one professional tutoring at no charge. So this October the 15th, on a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, we're having our walk. It's at the Scottish Rite Building at 1549 Frank Scott Parkway West in Belleville, Illinois. If you'd like more information, you can call 618-235-9392 or 618-235-3350. Come on out and help us raise money for children who want to learn how to read.
Examine life from the police perspective. Put down the police scanner and pick up Gary Wiegert on WGNU.net.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I just have to repeat this story because I think it is huge. Congress is saying that they are going to be taking a look into the billions of dollars that are millions of dollars. It's hard to keep track of money that's going to be handed out in this reconstruction, the so-called reconstruction of Katrina, in the wake of Katrina, in the aftermath of Katrina. And it is chilling to know that in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, with all of the hundreds of thousands of people that have been displaced, the tens of thousands of lost jobs, the destruction of tens of thousands of people's lives, some permanently, some forever, communities destroyed. I mean, sometimes I think that people really do not vibe on what has happened to people's lives in the wake of Katrina. You wake up you go to bed Sunday night, you wake up on Monday morning and you have no home. You have no neighborhood. You have no community. The entire place where you live is gone. You go to bed on Sunday night, you wake up on Monday morning, you don't know where your brother is. 3 weeks later, your brother is in Utah. Your mother is in Kansas City. Your siblings have been scattered to the wind all across this country. Everything that you know is gone, gone forever. And you were raised in New Orleans. You were born in Louisiana. Could you imagine going to bed on Sunday night, waking up Monday morning and never coming back to the place, or faced with the prospect of never coming back to the place that you were born, where you've lived your whole life, where everything you know is? No money, no clothes, no job, no nothing. They need jobs. They need to be able to come back and help build their community. And in the midst of all of that loss, that personal loss by United States citizens, and the worst storm to hit this country in I don't know how long, perhaps ever, our government's response is $200 billion reconstruction package. Sounds good, right? The United States administration, this administration, George Bush is approaching companies from India to do the construction work. According to Atul Punji, the chairman of Punji Lloyd, U.S. companies have approached them, but the major hurdle, check it out. Look at what the United States government is fixing. Y'all need to get on the horn to your congresspeople right now. Y'all need to be riding them like you in the Kentucky Derby. Because this is messed up. This is messed up. The United States government, what would be the challenge? Just think about it. What would be the challenge to a company from India, a construction company from India coming to the United States and working? What would be the, a little thing called visa. This company has asked for special visa permission so that the reconstruction can be completed on schedule. Punji wants to take advantage of this opportunity. The construction giant is also planning to expand their capital as a result of this. They're hiring lead managers and expected to draft the red herring prospectus shortly. Do you hear what I'm saying? You know, heck fire. If we can hire some construction companies from India, let's go to Africa. Let's hire, you know, apparently we're not concerned about visas and things like that. They want to hire, this administration has approached, and I just want you all to think about all you red, white, and blue, tile, yellow, ribbon wearing, magnet on my car sticking, support the troops, buy America. All of y'all think about all of the people that you know in construction or that could do construction. Just think of it from a selfish American perspective. Get your heads out of your TiVo and your Game Boys and think about what this does to a nation. That an administration in the time of the most extraordinary domestic economic crisis to hit this country, the devastation of an entire city, hundreds of thousands of people homeless, moved, displaced. This administration's response is, India, they could use some jobs. And mind you, pay attention to the details. It is no coinky dink. that our good government, the first, it moved faster on the, George Bush moved faster on this than he did to the photographs of dead bodies floating in water. Eliminated the requirement that the companies pay the prevailing wage, that wage. That just means that's right for India, isn't it? They can pay their folks anything they want to. It is not a coinkydink that the prevailing wage law was eliminated in order to pave the way for a company from India, companies from India, to come in and get part of this $200 billion reconstruction package. It's a sin against, it's a sin. And it's part of the cold-hearted, cold-blooded disconnect that this administration has from every single one of you that is not related or connected to Halliburton, Brown & Root, or $1 billion, or $1 million trust fund. And that's most people in America. What's that song by Michael Jackson? They don't care about us. Be clear. They don't care about you. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're going to take a break. My number here is 454-0400, 454-0400. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about.
That's how you make me feel. When I'm with you, I am far away, and nothing is for real. When I'm with you, I'm lost for words. I don't know what to say. My head's spinning like a carousel. Silently I pray. Helpless and hopeless, that's how I feel inside. Nothing's real, but all is possible if God is on my side.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline London. A document has emerged that may tie former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher to the corruption probe of House Republican leader Tom DeLay. Thatcher met with DeLay back in 2000 when DeLay was in Britain on what is termed as a favors for freebies mission. The document indicates that in return for the trip to England, DeLay is said to have agreed to back legislation favorable to British lobbyist groups. The trip included a meeting with Mrs. Thatcher. Evidence is now being gathered about that meeting and if she has any involvement in the violation of American laws. And Dateline Kuwait City. Persian language news websites are reporting that if Iran is attacked by either Israel or the United States, the price of oil on international markets will likely jump to somewhere in the neighborhood of $400 a barrel. According to the news sources, an attack upon Iran will result in resistance to the last moment, and it will use its huge oil reserves as a weapon to starve off defeat. General Hassan Abbasi, head of the Center for Research on Security Without Borders Doctrines, is quoted as saying that the threat of invading Iran is likely just a Western bluff because the West's most serious problem right now is a shaky economy that is heavily dependent on oil. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and get a new attitude.
Since 1977, Home Services, Inc. has helped St. Louis's disabled and elderly residents stay in their own homes longer. From repairing and modifying homes in the area to keeping neighborhoods safe, Home Services, Inc. has been there for thousands. If you or someone you know needs accessibility, safety, or weatherization improvements to their home, call 314-531-9779. If you would like to make a financial contribution to this nonprofit organization, send it to Home Services, Inc., 3755 Forest Park Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri. 63108.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Baby steps. Baby steps. Right. Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I sucked a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Visit stlouisblues.com for special discounts and promotional information. Tickets on sale at the box office, Ticketmaster outlet, stlouisblues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
You crying for? This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll free long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, revolution@lizbrown.com. And we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. I'm also archived daily on the whiterosesociety.org. May need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. The numbers are out. I was watching the morning talk shows on Sunday morning, some of them. And I listened very carefully and listened as they all were strategically attempted to articulate the myth that George Bush, poll numbers are going back up. Seven flights to Rita, apparently, this administration had hoped that that would convince the American public that he was engaged and on his job. The numbers are out. They were released on Saturday, and the numbers are still going down. Bush has received a mixed public reaction in his response to Rita. 49% said that they disapproved of how he handled the effect of Rita, and compared to 57% who were dissatisfied with Katrina. Now, that's not good news for George W. Bush. That's not good news. That is not good news. Given the fact that Rita didn't have the devastation that Katrina did, it's not good news. The poll also confirmed continuing deterioration of the support for the U.S.-led war in Iraq.
62% said that they disapproved of how Bush is handling this. That's up from 60% last week. These are not good numbers for George W. Bush. And what is interesting is that in the next hour we're going to have on Craig McDonald, Director of Texans for Public Justice. He's going to be talking about, he's the person from Texas that has been on the ground following the Tom DeLay story. He's been on our show before. He's the lead person in the group that has been following and monitoring what Tom DeLay has been doing in Texas, and he's going to be able to bring us some additional perspectives on this. But when the polls were taken, the polls considered the indictment of Tom DeLay as part of the assessment of their feelings about George W. Bush. And people have spoken out on this as well. These are not good times for this administration. And yet, in the midst of all of this, in the midst of all of the opportunities for success, the Democratic Party seems content with defeat. Reid has said, oh yeah, it's a good choice. You don't know anything about this woman, except that she's a crony of George W. Bush. That's all you know. She's a crony. She's a loyalist and a crony of George W. Bush. And as a Democrat, as the lead Republican for the Democratic minority, at the very least, you should say, if her only credit reference is a recommendation by George W. Bush, I'm going to have to pass on that and not give her a good credit reference. I'm going to have to pass on that. Simply because I'm a Democrat. If all you've got, imagine what the Republicans would have done if Bill Clinton had nominated his private attorney to be a Supreme Court justice. They would be imploding on the Capitol lawn. They would be exploding on the Capitol lawn if Bill Clinton had attempted to nominate his private attorney for the last 10 years, an attorney that spent a third of their career handling the private business of Bill Clinton. If he wanted to give that kind of hookup to his friend, what would the Republicans do? And what do we hear from the Democrats?
Sound like a good job.
This puts the C in cronyism. If Bill Clinton had said, I want the attorney that has saved my behind in numerous cases, the attorney in charge of fighting ethical charges brought against me, I want that person to be on the Supreme Court. They would still be talking about that. He wouldn't have got her on the Supreme Court, and they would still be holding that against him that he tried to do that. And the Democrats, mumbling or articulating support, what good are you? And you know what Chuck Schumer said after he's busy running to be on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, act like he's human or got a sense of humor or something like that. You know what Chuck Schumer said after the nomination? Oh, could have been worse. uh,
John Stewart said that, you know what, I guess the Republicans just act like Democrats on steroids in terms of greed. And you know what Chuck Schumer said? He laughed. We're going to be talking about Tom DeLay with Craig McDonald, Director of Texans for Public Justice. He's going to be joining us from Austin, Texas. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We've got some serious stuff. You know, our load is heavier because the folks that are supposed to be carrying it are not interested in carrying it. So we got a heavy load to carry. Let's get some of this business done when we talk to Craig McDonald, Director for Texans for Public Justice, joining us from Austin, Texas. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. Stay with me. We ain't done here.
Please do not beg hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power. Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. President Bush holds a news conference in 90 minutes. ABC News White House correspondent Ann Compton with a preview.
Clarissa, this formal press conference, his first in months, comes as the president and his staff are mounting a major defense of Supreme Court nominee Harriet Myers. As a career attorney and White House counsel, she has almost no public record, and the greatest skepticism is being voiced by conservatives. Clarissa?
There's mixed reaction to the president's nomination of Harriet Myers as the next Supreme Court justice. Conservative commentator Pat Buchanan, a speechwriter for President Nixon, is stunned President Bush didn't choose someone with judicial experience.
Never before have I known a president to take someone off his personal staff and put him on the United States Supreme Court.
Even some Myers supporters, like Texas Supreme Court Justice Nathan Hecht, temper their praise.
Everybody says she's a very fair-minded person, but she is, she's definitely shares the president's values.
No date yet for the confirmation hearings to begin. Bill Clinton is scheduled to arrive in Baton Rouge later this morning for a tour of Gulf Coast hurricane damage. ABC's Pam Coulter is in New Orleans.
The former president will visit Mississippi, Alabama, and Louisiana, spending the night in New Orleans, which is still struggling with power outages, water, and sewer problems. He'll meet with survivors, local officials, and relief workers to assess community needs for the Bush-Clinton Fund that's raised around $100 million for hurricane relief.
An Ipsos poll last month showed 44% of Americans in cities with hurricane evacuees are worried about the cost of housing and other evacuee services. The top 20 sumo wrestlers in the world arrive in Las Vegas today for this weekend's Grand Sumo Championship. Vegas buffets are no doubt gearing up for the extra business. This is ABC News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
There are thousands marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, number NASD and SIPC.
If you're sick and tired of watching your eyes get weaker and weaker every year, repeat after me. I will take a stand against my weak eyesight.
I won't use my glasses as a crutch.
And I will no longer accept stronger prescriptions year after year.
Call right now for a free video to find out how you can strengthen your eyesight using the safe, natural solution. It's called the See Clearly Method. Call 1-800-400-9144. That's 1-800-400-9144. 1-800-400-9144.
A controversial gun bill is now the law in Florida, and two more bills are waiting in the wings.
The new Florida law says anybody has the right to shoot to kill if they're threatened in a public place. Peter Hamm with the Brady Campaign Against Gun Violence handed out flyers in Miami, explaining,
if they're in a passionate argument while they're here, they can walk away.
Florida Governor Jeb Bush says the Brady campaigns
try to scare people not to come to our state.
Two proposed bills threaten prison and fines if companies prohibit employees from storing guns locked in their cars or trucks at work. Opponents say last year, three-quarters of the 551 workplace homicides in the U.S. resulted from shootings. The National Rifle Association says there's no evidence workplace violence would increase. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Go ahead and have another donut. A 30-year study from Boston University suggests in the long haul, 9 out of 10 men and 7 out of 10 women will become overweight. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, investigators are unsure whether a fatal fire in Jefferson County is an accident. The flames that erupted at around 4:30 yesterday morning at a Crystal City apartment complex killed 18-year-old Daryl Callis. Authorities earlier believed that burning candles may have started the blaze, but they now say the cause remains under investigation. The major case squad and the state fire marshal's office are looking into the fatal incident. Two groups with opposite views on the issue of a woman's right to choose are speaking out about President Bush's most recent Supreme Court nominee. President Bush nominated Harriet Myers on Monday to replace the retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Mary Traeger, a spokesperson for the Missouri chapter of Concerned Women for America, says CWA would have preferred someone with a paper trail, but says the group trusts President Bush's selection. Paula Giannino, a spokesperson for Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region, agrees with Traeger that there is not a lot of information about the nominee. She says that is all the more reason for Myers to be open and honest about where she stands on a variety of legal precedents. A New Orleans man forced to evacuate his home following Hurricane Katrina has the Humane Society of Missouri to thank for reuniting him with his dog. Robert Alberti and Rover, a black Labrador-Dalmatian mix, were reunited yesterday at the shelter in St. Louis. Alberti says it was great to see his friend again.
I mean, the dog knew me right away. In other words, he recognized me. I recognized him. Really great reunion, really. Oh, he was constantly moving. His tail was wagging. He's nonstop.
Alberti and Rover were forced to swim to safety following Hurricane Katrina. They were eventually rescued by the Coast Guard and taken to a shelter, where Alberti slept outside so he could stay with Rover. Alberti was forced to surrender Rover when Alberti was evacuated again to I-10. Rover was brought to St. Louis along with 45 other pets from an overcrowded shelter in Louisiana. The Blues will practice this morning with their regular season opener in Detroit just one day away. The workout has been moved from the St. Louis Mills Ice Zone to the Savas Center and is closed to the public. Tomorrow's game will be the first of a home-and-home series with the Central Division rival Red Wings, with the Blues home opener slated for Thursday night. The Note will play each of its divisional foes 8 times this season, including a matchup with the Blackhawks a week from tonight at Savas. The Blues and Red Wings face off at 6:30 tomorrow evening at Joe Louis Arena. Finally this hour, Chick Flick, Civil Union, and Amuse Bouche have something in common. They are among the new entries in the new Merriam-Webster Collegiate Dictionary. With gourmet chefs becoming stars and their lingo becoming commonplace in our culture, Amuse Bouche made the book. That term refers to food morsels given free at expensive restaurants where tasting menus frequently cost $100 or more. With Massachusetts legalizing gay marriage and some other states giving gay couples legal rights, Civil Union also made the dictionary. Chick flick refers to a certain kind of movie that females might prefer viewing. In addition, words like brain freeze, which is the headache caused by eating ice cream too fast, and bikini wax also account for the added pages of the new dictionary. The new words account for some of the book's 1,664 pages. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Southwest Airlines. Southwest Airlines has 3 daily flights from St. Louis to Fort Myers, Naples. Are you thinking what they're thinking? Maybe it's time to see Fort Myers, Naples. Visit southwest.com today. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Lincoln Mercury Dealers. Northbound 55 between Union, there's a report of an accident that's been cleared, but traffic jams from 270 all the way to Green Park Road. Eastbound 70 at Adelaide, there's a disabled vehicle. Right lane is blocked and it slows approaching Union. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and 141, look for an accident reported. Eastbound 70 from Cave Springs to Blanchett Bridge, it's finally moving steady. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to 44, stop and go. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79, look for very heavy volume. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Hanley, you've got slow traffic. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley, slow traffic. Southbound 270 from Big Bend to 44, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 270 at Chain of Rocks Bridge, there's road construction and the right lane is closed. Traffic jams at Lilac. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Merrimack River Bridge, look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 203 to PSB looks like it's got sluggish traffic still. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue, the 5570 split is slow. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 split all the way on to Laclede's Landing. You've got very heavy volume there. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for heavy traffic going on there. Lee May Ferry at Lee May Woods, there's an injury accident. And in both directions, Tesson Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravois, you've got paving operations. As well as northbound 55 from 143 to State Road, there's road construction, right lane is closed. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Lincoln Mercury dealer. Hey, you got to put Mercury on your list with new cars like the midsize Milan, new SUVs like the Mariner Hybrid, and a redesigned Mountaineer. Why blend in when you can stand out? Visit your local Lincoln Mercury dealer today to find out more details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. Moving on to Wednesday, partly sunny skies, 30% chance of showers with a high in the mid-80s. Wednesday evening, cooler, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of showers in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low around 50. Then on Thursday, much cooler. Mostly sunny skies with a high only in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 74, both under partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call is up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this sound? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this sound?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal privilege.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. We are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. We are also iPodded at whiterose.org, whiterosesociety.org, and from Xenia to Zimbabwe, we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net, LizBrown.com, Revolution at LizBrown.com, 1-877-920-WGNU. Those are my digits. That's how you get to me. Ooh, Lord. Tom DeLay out there, it's all that smack talk all over the airwaves all week long. The worst, this is the worst, the most outrageous, the most awfulestest indictment in the history of jurisprudence. I guess the Scottsboro brother boys will probably have that, would take exception to that. I think they had it a little worse off than an unearned privilege white guy from Texas who's cutting deals for the Republican Party. I think they had it a little tougher with the criminal justice system in America. That aside, Tom DeLay talked some smack talk last week and got another indictment today. We need to talk about this, and we need to put out information. It was fascinating to me that for every time that Tom DeLay said that this was a baseless indictment, for every time that Tom DeLay said that this was pure partisan politics, from every time that Tom DeLay said that this was a democratically inspired miscarriage of justice, we rarely, if ever, heard the other side of that. I heard a response to that. And we need to put balance out there. We need to put an accurate assessment other than the partisanship and the cynical manipulation of the media to carry out the agenda. To imagine, you get play from a media when you are an indicted Speaker of the House. You are the most ethically challenged Speaker, member of Congress. You've got more admonishments than anybody has. And yet you still get some play from the press. They play your stuff, but they don't play anybody else's stuff. We need to talk about this. And to facilitate that conversation, we have Craig McDonald. He's the Director of Texans for Public Justice at TPJ, joining us from Austin, Texas. Craig, good morning. Good
morning, Liz.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
A lot of smack talk got him another indictment, didn't it?
Exactly right. He'd do well to keep his head down.
Keep his head down.
Yeah.
And hush up.
Yeah, he did. His legal liabilities just kind of tripled overnight. He woke up yesterday. With what would be a fourth-degree felony in Texas, and today he's got a first-degree and a second-degree.
He's going to need a couple more lawyers, isn't he?
Well, he's got plenty.
Well, let's talk about the first indictment, and then let's move to the second indictment, Craig.
Yeah, well, last week a grand jury here indicted him, and this is after about 2.5 years of investigation. His colleagues and cohorts had all been indicted on first-degree felony money laundering charges some time ago, actually a year ago, September. So this wasn't anything new that the grand jury sprung on Tom DeLay.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long-term investigation. His indictment last week was actually number 42 of criminal felony indictments, not just against the politicians, but what we took heart in is eight of the corporations who participated in this, that is, who supplied the money, who just simply wrote the check because they thought they needed access to Tom DeLay, were also indicted.
And Craig, if I could just stop for a second, because I can't help but marvel at the fact that every time that I saw this story reported on the television news, not once did I hear it characterized in terms of the 41 other indictments that had been handed out by this grand jury, all of the other people that have been indicted, all the other corporations that have been indicted. Not once did I hear his indictment framed in that way.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, you know, the news media who, you know, as you just said in your intro, I don't know, focuses on Tom DeLay because I guess he's rich and powerful. And I think you're exactly right. The public would think that this Tom DeLay indictment came out of the blue or came out of nowhere or had no other context.
That's right.
Well, it does have context. This was about Tom DeLay and his cronies trying to steal the state elections in 2002. The evidence of the underlying crimes has been pretty clear. Again, we filed the original complaint against Tom DeLay with the prosecutors here. And here's another thing you never heard. So he stood out there with his lawyers last Wednesday and said, no crimes have ever been committed. This is just baseless. This is made up of whole cloth. But already, a year ago May, in the civil courts, the civil judge has ruled that Tom DeLay's committee, what we call TRIMPAC, broke Texas law. They've already been found guilty in courts of law. Your listeners or the general public wouldn't have known that by watching the national news coverage last week.
And also, I am just, I'm really kind of tired of talking about it, but I'm not going to stop talking about it. Where are the Democrats on this? They should be hooting and hollering, and we should be seeing face after face of Democrat out there saying, this is what we've been saying, they're corrupt. You know? Where are they?
Sometimes it's hard to throw stones.
Well, I understand, but here's my thought. If they've got something on you, you've got something on them, too, so just throw away.
Right.
Because, I mean, it didn't stop the Republicans from throwing stones.
Well, I think we are seeing that if there's any general message coming out of the Democratic Party in Washington and I assume soon in Texas, it's a message that in the Tom DeLay scandal plays into it. It's about incompetence, cronyism, and corruption. And I think Nancy Pelosi and other members of Congress are going to ride that horse for as long as it takes them. What I find disappointing about that is it's not about programs. It doesn't tell me what the Democrats are going to do. It just says, look, these evil people have been self-serving and self-dealing at your expense. We've got to let them go. So I think the Democrats are taking up that call. But the disappointment for me as a longtime community organizer is that they don't seem to have a program to replace Tom DeLay.
Mm. So we have the first indictment coming down about Tom DeLay. Can you tell us about this grand jury? How long have they been sitting? What do we know about them?
Yeah, well, again, this has been a long process. The investigation started almost 3 years ago now.
And it's the same grand jury?
Well, evidence has been brought to several grand juries.
Okay.
The grand jury that indicted Tom DeLay last week was the fourth grand jury to which evidence had been brought. Our grand juries sit for a period of 6 months,
okay,
and then they're dismissed. So not just one grand jury has been handing down indictments. These 42 indictments have come from a series of four different grand juries.
Wow, and that's significant.
I think it is significant. It shows that it's not just, you know, there's an article in today's local paper about how the last grand jury, I don't know, 11 of the 15 voted Democratic, but this has been four grand juries. And yesterday, the new indictment came from a grand jury that had just been impaneled on Monday.
Wow.
And I think that sends the signal.
Wow.
You know, you can talk about the Tom DeLay saying, oh, it shows that there's a rogue prosecutor who keeps running back to the grand jury. I think the reason they went back yesterday is a little more complex than that. But it does show you that I think there is enough evidence, or evidence is very convincing, that Tom DeLay participated in these crimes. And again, I state the crimes themselves are pretty simple and pretty clear-cut.
Can we for a moment talk about the ramifications of what Tom DeLay has done? They've altered the face of politics in Texas and in the United States for a good long time.
Oh, absolutely they have. This is what Karl Rove calls, wants it to be the permanent realignment in this country, and Tom DeLay has been part of that. Tom DeLay, actually, though he's been very powerful on the national scene and somewhat powerful in Texas, in 2002 was the first time we really saw him put the Texas legislature in his sights. And they, he and his cronies and others who participated in the scheme funneled several millions of dollars of corporate money into our Texas elections to make sure that the Tom DeLay slate of candidates, which reflect his style, his ideology, his issue priorities, were elected in Texas. And they took over the Texas legislature. For the first time in 130 years, we had a Republican run in the Texas House of Representatives, and it was a Tom DeLay puppet. So he totally has realigned, at least temporarily, Texas politics. We take some satisfaction that the criminal justice process has reached out and grabbed with a criminal indictment one of the most powerful members of Congress in the country. We don't take satisfaction in the fact that we cannot undo the damage. We can't undo the takeover of the Texas legislature in 2002.
Why not?
No judge, no jury, no prosecutor can undo that election. There's just no no format for us to say, well, there was widespread cheating, let's do it again. The legislature that won, Tom DeLay's legislature, not only redistricted Texas to take away representation from many of us, but it also passed some very draconian assaults on our basic rights in the marketplace and environmental controls. We can't go back and undo all those laws. So I think the only thing we have left is to make sure that the wrongdoers are held accountable, that Tom DeLay, his team, and his staff go to jail for every day they might deserve if juries find them guilty. And that then maybe that will have some political ramifications so we can throw out these guys and start fresh.
Well, given the fact that, the redistricting, and if you can give us a quick synopsis of how the redistricting took place, but also given the fact that they have been successful in redistricting, do you foresee any future in which you can take over or come back and control again?
Well, I think it's going to be hard. This state has been trending away from being a Democratic majority state to a Republican majority state. There's no doubt about that. It's doing the same things that other southern states have done over the last two to three decades. So I don't think we'll ever get a, or it'll be a long time before we get a Democratic majority. I think the question is among the Republican Party. Are the Republicans that get elected, are they going to be the moderate Republicans joining with moderate Democrats to at least make sure we have some moderation in our policies? Or are they going to be this Tom DeLay clique? You know, even some of the members in the business community in Texas have felt locked out of the legislative process since Tom DeLay's handpicked team took over the legislature in 2002. The only people who have access to government are the people who are the huge donors and the top lobbyists who sat around and cooked up this scheme and got their people elected. So it's not just the people who care about civil rights, community rights, consumer rights, environmental rights are locked out. Many members of the mainstream community are locked out. And so I think the change is going to be not trending back from Republicans to Democrats, but what kind of Republicans are there going to be to work with Democrats? And I think there's some hope there.
And in terms of how this is playing out in Texas, you don't see any Republican backlash on this, just Tom DeLay backlash.
Well, you know, Tom DeLay, you know, we see his ranting and raving on TV, and I think what he's doing is playing to his base. And he does have a base in Texas. He has a base nationally. I mean, his base is certainly not a majority, but it's what I sometimes call the lunatic fringe. And that's the base he's speaking to when he says, I'm a fighter, this is just partisan. That's the way Tom DeLay sees the world, so it's not surprising to us. He has always been a screamer, and if you're against Tom DeLay, then you must be some flaming liberal Democrat who is against his vision of the Republican Party. So I don't see much backlash among a broader range of Republicans. I think there is still a group, of Republicans who run the state house, that is the people who benefited from Tom DeLay's election cheating in 2002, Speaker Tom Craddock and others, who think they also might be indicted in this. And there was a mild sigh of relief last week when they weren't indicted, but not total relief because our prosecutor, Ronnie Earle, says the grand jury process goes on. This investigation is not over.
When did he say that?
Well, he said that at the Tom DeLay press conference last Wednesday. Again, that's kind of
because I got the
context. Tom DeLay was indictment number 42, and the investigation continues, and we expect there will be more indictments, and I think they will have those indictments surely will not come perhaps against Tom DeLay, but some of the members of the Texas legislature.
Because I even read articles that stated that they expected that this grand jury was going to expire, and when this expired, that there was a 2 years limit of statute of limitations, and that they expected that there weren't going to be any more indictments forthcoming.
Well, actually, there is a 3-year statute of limitations on most of these crimes. The reason Tom DeLay was reindicted yesterday, we believe, and the prosecutor has not yet spoken, but Tom DeLay earlier on had waived the statute of limitations, which is a pretty common thing to do when you are under investigation and you go meet with the prosecutor. He did that some months ago. His lawyer, after the indictment of last week, Tom DeLay's lawyer, had been blowing some smoke about how that waiver of his statute of limitations for the crime was not valid. That's why I think the prosecutors went back to the grand jury yesterday and reindicted him on more serious charges, because they had those charges in their pocket, but they thought they had the luxury of time. But the statute of limitations runs out today. October 4th is the date when most of the corporate money was funneled back to the Texas candidates. So I think yesterday's indictment and the timing of it was based on the fact that Tom DeLay is claiming that when he waived his statute of limitations, it wasn't valid, and that's why the prosecutors went back. But the statute of limitations continues to run on other people. We have another month or so before it runs out for the elections, and the prosecutor has hinted strongly that there are crimes that may have been committed that run past the 3 years of the election date. And those crimes, I think, could only be perjury and other crimes relating to people not being forthcoming in this 3-year investigation.
And we're going to take a break. I'm talking to Craig McDonald, Director of Texans for Public Justice. He's joining us from Austin, Texas. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're talking about Tom DeLay. We'll be back.
Like a light bulb in a dark room, I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me on.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Eastbound 70 at Adelaide is a disabled vehicle. Right lane is slow as you approach Union. Eastbound 70 between Zumbel and 270 is flowing freely. Northbound 270 from Gravois to 44's traffic is slow in pockets. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, that traffic is finally easing up this hour. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Hanley, look for slow traffic there. Northbound 55 from 270 to Virginia, no problems to report. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 270, Chain of Rocks Bridge, there's road construction. Right lane is closed and traffic jams all the way back to Lilac. Eastbound 44 between Mraz Overpass all the way into the Merrimack River Bridge. Look for a very heavy volume this hour. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor to 141. That traffic is starting to ease up this hour. Your bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the PSB. It is stop and go. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way to Laclede's Landing looks good in both directions. Tesson Ferry at Lindbergh and Gravois. There's paving operations, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic was sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust your local Toyota dealer that gives you your vehicle the best and knows your vehicle the best at convenient services and competitive prices. Oil changes, tires, batteries, and brakes, they do it all. That's moving you forward at Toyota. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, partly cloudy skies, high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. Wednesday, partly sunny, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high in the mid-80s. Wednesday evening, cooler, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers in the evening. Then partly cloudy after midnight, the low around 50. Then Thursday, much cooler, mostly sunny, with a high only in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees under mostly sunny skies. Lambert Field is reporting 74 and sunny skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. Take another look at your news, your weather, and a final look at traffic in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? The Old Testament prophet Micah asked that question of his people thousands of years ago. Since 1994, that question has been one of the bedrock values of Hope for the Nations. In 20 countries around the world, Hope for the Nations turns today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders, provides security so children can become confident young people, actively trains them to become productive leaders in their society, and helps their communities to become self-sufficient. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and how you can become part of their worldwide ministry. Go online at www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994. What is the Lord requiring of you?
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
This is AM 920 WGNU. Radio Free St. Louis. Remember to listen to us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Frank.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to Craig McDonald. He's the director of Texans for Public Justice. He's joining us from Austin, Texas, and we're talking about the twice indicted Tom DeLay. Craig, how hard do you think it's going to be to get a jury to sit in on this case? And do you think that they're going to ask for a change of venue on it?
Well, they've been talking about asking for a change of venue, Liz, but their legal strategy is kind of all mixed up right now in Tom DeLay's political strategy.
Uh-huh.
Like I say, he'd been speaking to his base, and the first thing he came out was demanding a quick jury trial, and a quick trial, a trial by the end of the year. That's just never going to happen.
It is never, ever, ever going to happen.
No, we actually do have a access to trial statute here, but that quick access to trial right is within 12 months. And you can file a motion making sure you go to trial within 12 months. But once you do that, you can't file any other motions that might slow it down, including a change of venue. Once you file a change of venue, your right to a speedy trial
is gone.
Has been forfeited.
It's gone.
So, you know, but I think for the purpose of his base, he has been saying this will be done by the end of the year. And his lawyer filed a motion yesterday to dismiss the first indictment. Had that been successful, and it wasn't so far, then maybe Tom DeLay could have gone back and picked up his power hammer in Washington. But it's just not very likely that that's going to happen. His co-conspirators don't have any interest in going ahead with a speedy trial. They're facing life imprisonment, which no one thinks would ever happen for this. You know, it's a white-collar crime. Who gets life imprisonment, even for white-collar crimes against democracy? No one. But they want to drag this out as long as they can. So maybe in his political interests, for Tom DeLay to talk about a speedy trial.
Well,
certainly isn't in his legal interest.
Let's talk about the political interest component of this. We have midterm elections coming up. He had to, of course, step down as the majority leader in the House. What political things is he looking at as a reason to push this thing fast?
Well, I think it's just, you know, his own personal reacting to it, if you will. It's his natural chutzpah.
Mm.
He's always been a bear. He's always charged forward. He's a real bull. He's going to get things done. He's a man of action. But here, I think he's just, I don't think he sees the reality on the page. Democrats have been trying to run against Tom DeLay for a couple of years now. Democratic-leaning interest groups have been running against Tom DeLay. That is, they've been trying to tag all other Republican members of Congress with Tom DeLay's sins.
Mm-hmm.
That has only increased now that he is indicted for multiple felonies.
Mm-hmm.
That's not getting any softer. It's getting harder, if you will. So I think the Republicans are never going to want to resurrect this leader. I think Tom DeLay is in their rearview mirror, and he's fading fast.
Kenny Holseth just came out, I believe it was late yesterday or early today, saying I would never, if he's successful on fighting these charges, he will never be majority leader again.
I think that's exactly right.
And that's a Republican saying that. So I think that people, that the Republicans might be moving in that direction. But do you see this, or is conventional wisdom that this will have any impact on the midterm elections? A lot of folks have said that the Democrats wanted this to drag out a little bit further to help them with the midterm elections.
Yeah, I do have some friends who are Democrats, as you might imagine, and they all keep telling me, not yet, not yet.
Yeah.
But so I don't know. I don't know if anyone can answer that question. Clearly, I think, as we mentioned in the top of the show, the Democrats generally are going to run on a platform against corruption.
And cronyism.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And they're going to run on it. What kind of salience it's going to have at the midterm elections, I don't know. You know, a year can be an awful long time in politics.
Let me get to a caller here. Mildred, you have a question? Or
yes, for the guest. Am I on the phone?
Yes, you are.
Okay, I noticed in the House of Representatives, Tom DeLay has a habit of pressuring people to change their votes. Now, I think that the people in the House of Representatives ought to act just like we do. Once you voted, that's it. You cannot come back and change that vote. And one other thing I want to say, I don't understand how Charlie Stenholm and Martin Frost are no longer in the U.S. legislature due to what happened in the state legislature. Can you explain that for me?
And then say that one more time.
I don't understand how Charlie Stenholm, a Democrat, and Martin Frost, a Democrat, are no longer in the U.S. legislature because of what has happened in the Texas legislature.
Okay.
Can you explain that to me, please?
All right, we'll let him try to explain that. And Craig, did you catch the question?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And that was the whole purpose behind Tom DeLay funneling this money into the TrimPAC operation in Texas. The Texas legislature had drawn new congressional districts in 2001, the first year of a new decade. That's when we always do it. That's when every state in the union does it, once every 10 years. At that time, the Texas legislature was controlled by Democrats, Senate by Republicans. So the congressional map that was redrawn was basically fair. It wasn't much of a radical change. There were 17 Democratic members of Congress and 15 Republican members. Tom DeLay was outraged. He wanted to change that map, and that's why he funneled money in here to elect his hand-picked Speaker of the Texas House. The Republicans won. The Republicans then revisited the redistricting issue. Unprecedented move. Challenged in the courts, but to no success. And Tom DeLay then had his hand-picked puppet legislature redraw those congressional districts again, and we lost 6 Democratic members of Congress. And his plan split up communities. Austin, Texas, a community of 650,000, used to elect one member of Congress that represented our community. Tom DeLay shattered the community of Austin into 3.5 congressional districts, just touching on 3 rural congressional districts. And Austin's not the only example, but he really changed the political face of Texas, and a lot of us lost representation when he did that.
Mm. Let me get to another caller here. Bill Carfone.
Yes, I have a question about Tom DeLay. The Hurricane Rita, when he came on the television, he came forth with an image like Al Haig did. DeLay was like, I'm in charge. Don't worry about what's going on down here in Houston. Did your guests get a sense of that?
Thanks for your question,
uh-huh.
Bill. Did you get a sense of that, Craig, when his the persona of Tom DeLay during Hurricane Rita?
Yeah, he does have an Al Haig kind of persona. Again, he's always been a big take charge, no compromising kind of guy. That's who he is. He's a former exterminator who stomped out bugs before he became a member of the legislature. And And I think he sees the world again in those terms. Very partisan, very cut and dried, very take no prisoners, very much I'm in charge. What I do is right and everyone else is wrong.
And is it true that he is estranged from his family?
You know, I'm not sure about his personal life. I've heard stories about that.
But
in some sense, he is a good. He has a charity in Houston that builds homes for and takes in orphan children and children who need foster care. He's very active, actually, in the foster care movement in Houston, and has raised money to build some relatively nice housing for foster children. So he's not. I guess no one's 100% anything.
Okay, I can buy that. I can buy that. So if Tom DeLay is not successful in slowing down speeding up actually the train for his trial, what kind of time are we looking at in terms of when this would go to trial?
Well, I think he might go to trial within a year. That seems normal. If along the way they decide that they want to appeal any ruling that might go against him in the pretrial motions, it would take longer. His two co-conspirators have already been in front of the criminal judge trying to get their indictments dismissed. They were unsuccessful in that. The criminal judge here has ruled that the indictments against his two colleagues, which are virtually the same indictment against him now, had merit and should stand. And they are appealing those rulings to the appellate courts, which is really going to slow down their trials. So the question is Tom DeLay have to wait on their appeals? Will he file similar appeals? I think he could get a trial within a year, but again, I don't think it's in his legal interest to move that quickly.
And in Texas, judges are elected, right?
That's correct.
Do we know who the judge is going to be in his case yet? Is it too early to say?
Yes, we do, unless they move for a change of venue. Tom DeLay's judge will be Judge Bob Perkins, who has been sitting over the cases of his two top aides. Perkins is, I believe technically on paper, he was elected as a Democrat. People perceive him as a pretty straight shooter, nonpartisan, pretty fair guy. The judge in the civil case that has already ruled against Trimpac was a judge that was handpicked by DeLay's defense team. So they can't have too much. They can't go screaming partisanship or bias, at least on the first judge that's already ruled against them.
Wow. Well, and Craig, where can people find out more information about what's going on with Tom DeLay?
Well, they can certainly tune into the Austin newspapers, which has covered it, which is the Austin American Statesman. They have a huge archive of all these articles. We'll have the new indictment on our website this morning. We have the old indictments on our website, and we're at tpj.org.
tpj.org. Craig McDonald, Director of Texans for Public Justice, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
It's been my pleasure, Liz.
Take care. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
In the night, come away with me and I will write you a song. Come away with me on a bus. Come away where they can't tempt us with their lies. And I want to walk with you on a cloudy day.
Seeking keys to the executive suite? Carrie Gwynn can help you get them at WGNU.net.
What's possible through prayer? No matter how dire the condition appears to be or how long the struggle has been going on, healing of all kinds of physical ailments is possible. Hear how people turned to God in prayer and found physical healing on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel.
The Christian Science Sentinel, Sundays at 1 p.m. here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Washington. Military officials say they fell about 8% short of their recruitment goal for the 2005 fiscal year that ended on September 30th. Army Secretary Francis Harvey is denying, though, that there is a numbers crisis. He says the downfall can be attributed to a robust economy that offers better job prospects and to parents who are becoming reluctant to let their children join the military. The Army's Deputy Chief of Staff, Richard Cody, has also indicated some 40,000 soldiers are going to be moved out of the Army bureaucracy and service schools and placed into operational units over the next 2 years. And Dateline London. The BBC recently conducted a poll of about 15,000 people around the world, asking which person would be most desirable to lead the world. The number one name given was former South African President Nelson Mandela. In second place was former American President Bill Clinton. The Dalai Lama came in third. The fourth place selection was somewhat of a surprise. It was Noam Chomsky, political activist and professor at Massachusetts Institute of Technology. The head of Microsoft, Bill Gates, finished sixth, and Steve Jobs of Apple Computers was voted number seven. And South African Archbishop Desmond Tutu finished in eighth place. President George Bush was way out of the top spot, coming in at 43. The object of the survey was to choose a team of 11 people out of 100 high-profile world figures who could run a dream world government. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement,
call 361-9191
or toll-free 866-361-9191
or online at mmmstlouis.org.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March, the Millions More Movement.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Since we first asked that question several weeks ago, we've learned that some people can't live without Liz, while others jump for joy about Jackson & Jackson. This is Charles Gere, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis. Send us a postcard or email of 100 words or less telling us why you listen to WGNU. You could win a package of free stuff from your friends at AM 920. Send your postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, 63108. Send your email to cgear@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings continue through Friday, October 28th. One entry per address, one prize per family. One winner announced each day during today's Solutions with Dave Linehan, Monday through Fridays from 4 until 6. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at wgnu.net.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call, Liz Brown.
I still ain't seen nothing like my neighborhood. And of all of the fancy satin and silk, my white cotton feels so good. Search high and low for a place where I can lay my burdens down. Ain't nothing in the whole wide world like the peace that I have found. And the joy they bring.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. These are amazing times that we find ourselves in. These are just amazing, breathtaking times. I just cannot get over the depth of the cronyism that is going on, and that is impacting our lives in profoundly negative ways. It's one thing to get your college roommate an interview at the big law firm. It's another thing to get your college roommate a job in charge of FEMA when they have no experience to do that. None. It's one thing to say that someone has done a good job as a lawyer in representing your interest. And it's another thing to recommend that person to the highest court in the land when they have absolutely... Judge Wapner has more experience, judicial experience, than Myers does. She has as much... What do they say? She has as much judicial experience as Judge Reinhold, who's an actor, whose first name is Judge. Do you get me? I mean, does it make any kind of sense? And sense to appoint someone who has absolutely no judicial experience at all? And here's the scary part. Here's the scary part. Here's the part that's going to make you crash into a tree if you're driving. Harriet Myers says, and I quote, "George W. Bush was the most brilliant man she's ever met." His mama don't even say that. His mama can't even let those words fall out her mouth. She says, Harriet Myers says, George W. Bush is the most brilliant man she had ever met. Are you scared yet? Are you scared yet? She is the person that is the architect of the cover-up of George W. Bush's National Guard records. Do you know that? She says he's brilliant. And honest to God, no one has ever said that. No one has ever said that. He admits to being a C student, which makes him an F student. He's a person that said that he used drugs and was irresponsible till he got around 40-something. She says he's the most brilliant man she's ever known. Okay, either you've been living in a cave and have never met a man before, or you are a scary mamma jamma that should not be sitting on the highest court in the land making decisions about the rest of my life. Lord. Car phone.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes. Maybe she's telling the truth. Maybe everybody she knows has less ability than he does.
Okay, which is scarier?
That it really will scare you.
I mean, which one is scarier? That everybody that she knows has less intellect than him, or that she thinks that he's the most brilliant man in the world?
Her thinking that he's the most brilliant person in the world.
Oh, Lord. Lord.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. She says George W. Bush was the most brilliant man she had ever met. Now, understand this. If your claim to fame, no, not even claim to fame, that you're stated, the person that recommended, George Bush said about this woman that she's a loyal friend. Translate, she's a crony, a diehard crony. Now, do you want somebody on the highest court in the land, who is a loyalist. You cannot be a loyalist and independent. The court needs independent people. You can't be a loyalist and independent. The highest court in the land mandates that you be an independent jurist. Judge Wapner has more experience than she does. Judge Judy has more experience than she has. And he says, put her on the bench, the highest one in the land. You're on a wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz. This is Gerald Christmas. How you doing?
I'm outstanding, Gerald Christmas.
I was just getting in the car and listening to you. That's a real scary thought if you say George Bush is the most brilliant person you've met. And he clearly has to be the dumbest president in my lifetime.
In the lifetime of any American, living or dead.
It's scary what's happening with the Supreme Court when you have somebody nominated that has no judicial experience.
None.
None whatsoever.
And her claim to fame is that she's my friend. She's a loyal, she's a crony.
And that's not what the country needs, another friend to Bush. What we need is somebody that can be independent on the bench and interpret the law, not try to make the law.
I think that we've all taken as much as we've been required to take at the expense of being exposed to George Bush's friends.
Exactly.
We look at
the scandal that's going on now with the indictments that are coming down all across the Republican Party,
mm-hmm.
and the onslaught of Halliburton in New Orleans.
Friends.
Rebuilding friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's friends everywhere. All it is a hookup for all his friends.
That's right.
That's the problem. But I'm wondering, when is the country going to wake up and see this, and when is the Democratic Party going to wake up and really take a stand and show some courage and some guts and get on the attack?
Thanks for your call, Gerald. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. We have much to talk about. Stay with me. We ain't going anywhere.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. Microphones and cameras are being readied in the White House Rose Garden, where President Bush faces reporters in half an hour. The president will no doubt be questioned about nominating White House counsel Harriet Myers to the Supreme Court. Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
The president feels confident he knows Harriet Myers and her philosophy quite well. Now senators and the American people are asking, where will they find evidence of her politics and abilities, since there is so little public record?
Some conservatives, like former presidential candidate Pat Buchanan, insist Myers is not qualified for the high court.
If she had not been female and not been the president's friend, she would not have one chance in a thousand of being nominated to that court.
This is the president's first official news conference, by the way, since May. Former President Bill Clinton is touring Gulf Coast hurricane damage this week in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. Mr. Clinton, who will be in Baton Rouge today, will assess the needs for funding from the Bush-Clinton Hurricane Aid Fund. A new U.S. military offensive is underway in the Euphrates River Valley of Iraq, where al-Qaeda insurgents have found plenty of hiding places. ABC's Wilf Dinick is embedded with U.S. forces there.
The idea here is that the U.S. military is doing this all in an area that has been, according to the U.S. military, a staging area for al-Qaeda, and they want to create security, the U.S. military does, before that very important October 15th vote on the Constitution.
Four soldiers and a Marine were killed yesterday in Iraq in separate incidents. Actress Sharon Stone is defending model Kate Moss and subtly criticizing companies that were ending their contracts with Moss in the wake of a newspaper story that alleged Moss has snorted cocaine. Stone says, "I think we have to be aware that people are allowed to make mistakes in their lives." This is ABC News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
Here they are, all the way from Liverpool.
There are thousands marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD and SIPC.
If you're sick and tired of watching your eyes get weaker and weaker every year, repeat after me. I will take a stand against my weak eyesight.
I won't use my glasses as a crutch.
And I will no longer accept stronger prescriptions year after year.
Call right now for a free video to find out how you can strengthen your eyesight using the safe, natural solution. It's called the See Clearly Method. Call 1-800-400-9144. That's 1-800-400-9144. 1-800-400-9144.
Three scientists on two continents are celebrating this morning with news about the Nobel Prize in Physics.
Kungliga Vetenskapsakademien har beslutat utdela.
The Nobel Committee announced that two of the three winners are Americans, Roy Glauber and John Hall. They joined German Theodor Hensch in capturing this year's top physics prize for their work in optics. Their research is said to open the door to the extremely accurate measurement of time and distance, with future applications in telecommunications and space travel. Their cutting-edge study may one day lead to things consumers might even enjoy, like 3D holographic television. For their efforts, the brainy trio will share the $1.3 million prize. Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
Now pay attention, Santa Claus. Family Fun magazine has come out with its top 10 toys list. That list includes a toy Slurpee maker, also a kid-friendly cell phone. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Burns-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, the man accused of killing Kirkwood Police Sergeant William McEntee will return to court next week. Kevin Johnson is scheduled to be arraigned next Wednesday on charges of first-degree murder, robbery, assault, and armed criminal action. Johnson is accused of fatally shooting McEntee in July in Kirkwood's Meacham Park neighborhood. He was expected to be arraigned yesterday, but court officials say no official action was taken. Federal politicians from Missouri are reacting to President Bush's latest Supreme Court nomination. President Bush yesterday nominated White House counsel Harriet Myers to fill the seat that will be vacated by retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Republican Senator Kit Bond says he doesn't know much about Myers, but thinks she deserves a fair confirmation hearing. Democratic Congressman William Lacey Clay says he doesn't know a lot about Myers, and the fact that she has never served as a judge could be considered either good or bad. Seniors are encouraged to educate themselves on the new Medicare prescription drug program. Ron Fitzwater, the CEO of the Missouri Pharmacy Association, says it's important that seniors have a family member or trusted friend help them choose a program under this plan.
The complicated piece will be, for a senior that's on multiple medications, finding a plan that covers all of their medications, because the prescription drug plans have to offer two drugs within every therapeutic class, but there's clearly going to be a number of brand and generic name drugs that may not be included in their formulary. The complicated part would be for seniors that are taking multiple meds.
Open enrollment begins on November 5th. The new Medicare prescription drug program goes into effect on January 1st. More information is available online at www.medicaretoday.org or by calling 800-MEDICARE. Jodie Foster's latest movie is still flying high at the box office. Studio estimates indicate Flight Plan made $15 million this weekend. That would make it the top movie at the box office for the second week in a row. The sci-fi thriller Serenity debuted in second place with a take of a little more than $10 million. Tim Burton's Corpse Bride slipped from second to third place with about $9.8 million. Into the Blue and Just Like Heaven finished in fourth and fifth place, respectively. Finally this hour, bring it on. Boston Mayor Thomas Menino has agreed to a friendly wager with Chicago Mayor Richard Daley. The Boston Red Sox will take on the Chicago White Sox tomorrow in the Windy City in the American League Division Series. If the Red Sox lose, Menino will offer up a legal seafoods dinner, coffee and donuts from Dunkin' Donuts, a case of Pearl Country Club Frankfurters, a case of Sam Adams beer, Boston cream pie, and a tub of Madness ice cream. Daley pledges to deliver Connie's Pizza, Tootsie Rolls, and other items if the White Sox lose. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Southwest Airlines. Fly to Fort Myers, Naples from St. Louis on one of Southwest Airlines' three new daily flights. Whether you're flying for business or pleasure, Southwest can get you there. Visit southwest.com today. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Adam Carolla, project on TLC. Eastbound 70 at Adelaide, there's a disabled vehicle. The right lane is blocked and slow traffic near Union. Northbound 270 at Dorset, the off-ramp is reopened after an earlier stall. Eastbound 40 between Clayton, Warson, and McKnight, that accident has been cleared. Expect slow traffic near Spady. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and the Blanchett Bridge, everything's back to normal, running smoothly there. Northbound 270 at 44 has returned back to normal as well. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge to Graham Hanley, expect steady traffic this morning. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to 55, expect normal traffic. Northbound 55 between Union and 44, no problems to report. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, that traffic starting to ease. Eastbound 270, however, on Chain Rocks Bridge, look for road construction. The right lane is blocked and expect delays all the way back to Lilac. Eastbound 44 at 141 and 270, no problems there. And westbound 5570 split onto the Poplar Street Bridge is returned back to normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good, and there are no other delays to speak of this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Adam Carolla Project on TLC. Comedian Adam Carolla can bring down the house, but can he rebuild it? Catch the series premiere of the Adam Carolla Project tonight at 9, only on TLC. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, partly cloudy skies, high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with low in the mid-60s. Wednesday, partly sunny with 30% chance of showers, the high in the mid-80s. Wednesday evening, cooler, mostly cloudy with 30% chance of showers in the evening. Then partly cloudy overnight with a low around 50. Then on Thursday, much cooler, mostly sunny, the high only in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 74 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 75, both under sunny skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I say? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I say? It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this
end? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemy of man, tyranny,
poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You can catch me at LizBrown.com. You can email me at revolution@LizBrown.com. 1-877-920-WGNU. We are broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.WGNU.net. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I think that it is important. Sometimes we forget as we go through the day in our busy lives, trying to pay bills, trying to earn money, trying to put food on the table, trying to just live. Sometimes we forget or don't pay attention to the fact that these are historic times that we're paying our bills in. These are historic times. All kinds of firsts are happening, and that's saying a lot for the year 2005. Hurricane of unprecedented impact. A war of unprecedented cost. Unprecedented things going on in our United States Congress, indicted House leaders, investigated Senate majority leaders. These are historic, unique times that we're living in. And I think that it is important that we absorb that information and understand what we're called to do in historic times. We spent the last hour talking to talking about Tom DeLay, the indictment from Travis County, Texas. And we need to, it only makes sense if we're going to talk about the House Majority Leader, we need to talk about the Senate Majority Leader, Bill Frist. You know him? He's the doctor that diagnoses in absentia. He said that he could look at the video of Terri Schiavo and tell that she wasn't in a persistent vegetative state. He's the doctor that said that you can get AIDS from tears. He is the doctor who has a bit of home healing that he needs to engage in for his own reputation. We need to talk about William H. Frist, a man that has heretofore been characterized as smart, diligent, squeaky clean, a gifted doctor, a strong body of knowledge about health care. Oh, what a few years in the United States Senate will do for you. Let's talk about Bill Frist. I think that the medical connections that are going to be the legacy of his time in the United States Senate will be the medical connections to his family's medical company, Hospital Corporation of America, HCA. Let's talk about Bill Frist's books. with Carmen Balbor, consumer advocate, Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumers Rights, joining us from Santa Monica, California. Carmen, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Bill Frist. The good doctor has an interesting way of dealing with money. Can we talk about this hospital company that his family founded and the wealth that it has managed and how that connects to the investigation that is going on with Bill Frist?
Absolutely. To just clarify his relationship with HCA. The Hospital Corporation of America was founded by his father and his brother,
mm-hmm.
with a third partner who's not quite as important, and has been a family company for years, although they don't have controlling interest any longer. His brother has held every position of power in the company, from chairman of the board to CEO, and currently sits on the board of directors. He's also the largest institutional shareholder in the company. Senator Frist has had his own personal fortune and that of his wife and children as well, based on HCA stock since he entered the Senate.
And when was this?
10 years ago.
10 years ago. All
exactly.
Right. And so what does HCA do?
HCA is a hospital corporation. They run hospitals all over the country. They're the second largest hospital corporation in the nation. They also, and this is a very important addition, run the fourth largest medical malpractice insurance company in the nation. Medical malpractice insurance is a issue that, along with the rest of healthcare policy, Senator Frist has styled himself as an expert on and has been extremely active in pushing his own vision in Congress and in the Senate.
HCA owns that?
HCA owns what's called HCI, and it is the fourth largest currently medical malpractice insurance company in the nation.
That's not a conflict of interest?
It's not a conflict for the hospital company to own malpractice insurance.
No, I didn't.
It's a conflict.
Yeah, no, I'm talking
about... Just for your listeners.
No, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about him. That's not a conflict for Bill Frist to have access to a company, particularly what his positions are on medical malpractice.
Absolutely. And this is what we've been saying for several years to the senator. The senator has been a major proponent of medical malpractice legislation that would limit the liability of hospitals and medical malpractice insurers when patients are injured by medical negligence. What legislation that the senator has pushed would do is limit the legal rights of patients, specifically take away the ability of many victims to go to court by capping the level of non-economic damages for victims of medical negligence, a child that died at birth, a mother who was sterilized, a senior who was blinded because of medical mistakes, and cap their damages in court at $250,000.
Well, let's just say that you are a heartless monster and you don't care about blind babies or injured grandmothers. Shouldn't you be concerned about the fact that the bottom line of HCA will be affected positively when caps are put in place?
Exactly, and that was the source of the conflict that Senator Frist had. We wrote him two personal letters and eventually submit a complaint to the Senate Ethics Committee last April, asking them to force him to either get rid of that stock or recuse himself from this debate, because by pressing that legislation, he financially benefited HCA, their medical malpractice subsidiary, and his own fortune.
Well, and
Senator Frist held between $10 and $30 million worth of HCA stock.
Jesus.
That was not a pittance.
And let's talk about this for a second, because let's just remind people of how stocks work. Senator Frist just coming out and articulating that we need to have medical malpractice reform impacts stock, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and
so by saying that he could make more money for himself and for his family.
Absolutely, and specifically in his position as majority leader, last year he used that power in order to bring his medical malpractice legislation, the legislation that he was pressing, to a vote on the floor without any of the typical policy committees or other votes. He skipped procedure in order to bring that legislation to a vote. In his position, he was in the great position to line his own pockets, to increase the value of his own stock by pressing for what he called medical malpractice reform and what was really a giveaway to hospitals and insurance companies.
Can we actually track how his stock did on the day that he did that?
It's entirely possible. I don't know if anyone has. What we heard when we made these complaints to Senator Frist was an absolute ignorance that there was any problem. He never admit that there was any conflict of interest, and he always said that because he had put his stocks in a quote-unquote blind trust and he had no control, he didn't even know if he had HCA stock, all of which was, we've learned.
That's a lie.
All of which was simply untrue.
That's a lie. I mean, it's an absolute untruth for him to suggest that he didn't know, because it wasn't a blind trust in the average person's understanding of what a blind trust is.
It wasn't a blind trust at all. And this is an issue that's really come to the forefront with Senator Frist's recent situation, that what senators have called quote-unquote blind trusts are hardly blind, and certainly not blind to the level that the American public would expect them to be. You hear blind trust, and you would imagine that means the senator has no idea what is in that trust. What we've found out is that many of these trusts are reporting frequently, if not daily, what the performance of the stock is. For Senator Frist, he's getting periodical updates as to how much HCA stock was either being bought or sold into his account. Now, what's important here, and we haven't gotten to the big problem, really, at this point, is that Senator Frist is currently under investigation for possible insider trading by the Securities and Exchange Commission and the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Now, who controls the Securities Exchange Committee and who controls the Justice Department?
The Securities and Exchange Commission is run by a recent President Bush appointee, Christopher Cox, who has rightly recused himself from this investigation. He served in the Senate with Chris Cox. He is a close ally of President Bush, as is Senator Frist, and would have put an unduly partisan cast on the investigation. Obviously, the U.S. Attorney's Office is run by the Department of Justice. The Attorney General Gonzalez, who is also a Bush ally, what we've called for is for congressional leaders to appoint an independent observer to oversee the process and ensure, A, that there's a thorough investigation, but, B, that partisanship does not get involved. And we can see with the influence of the president in both the U.S. Attorney's Office and at the SEC that someone needs to be watching out, making sure that there is an independent investigation, that Senator Frist is not let off the hook because of his political connections. But let me just take 1 minute to explain exactly what happened. Essentially, Senator Frist sold all of his HCA stock, and this is another indication that his trust wasn't blind. He was able to tell his trustee to sell his stock.
Stock that he wasn't supposed to know that he had.
Stock he wasn't supposed to know that he had for what we've determined to be about a $2 to $6 million profit because he sold it just before the hospital company announced that its earnings were going to be poorer than they projected, that the rosy projections of HCA insiders, HCA executives, had not panned out. And he fortuitously made that sale just before those revised earnings statements revised projections came out. What we also saw at the same time was a bunch of HCA insiders, the company's president, many members of the board, also selling millions of dollars worth of HCA stock.
Including his brother, the chairman.
His brother did not sell stock at
okay.
that time.
Okay.
However, his brother sits on the board and certainly was in a position to share insider information with him. It's a situation where we've got Martha Stewart on steroids. Frist had many connections within the company. Certainly, his brother is not the least of them, and fortuitously sold his stock at a time that saved him many millions of dollars. He needs to open up to the public all communications he had with the company, all communications specifically he had with his brother, and prove that there wasn't misconduct here. Otherwise, the situation looks so obvious that there's nothing else that's what we have to surmise.
Has the stock regained its position from before Fritz sold it?
Nope. The stock fell and has not climbed in that time. So his decision to sell after refusing for 10 years.
Yeah, we need to talk about that, too. For 10 years, he refused to say that there was a conflict of interest.
Exactly. For 10 years, he didn't simply refuse to say. He said there is absolutely no conflict. Holding this trust, holding this stock in my quote-unquote blind trust clears me of all responsibility. I don't know what's there, although we've learned later that was false, and that I have no conflict of interest. The Senate Ethics Committee decided because he didn't control the company, he didn't have controlling interest, that he didn't have a conflict. Obviously, the Senate's ethics rules need to be updated.
Wait a minute. So as long as you don't have control of a company, you can make tens of millions of dollars on that company based upon what you do in Congress, but unless you control the company, it won't matter. Is that what they're saying?
That's what they said in this case, and it's an obvious conflict that the average American could see. That if you're pressing legislation that would specifically financially benefit a specific company or even a specific industry, if you hold millions in pharmaceutical industry stock and are pushing legislation that benefits the pharmaceutical industry exclusively, you should not be holding that stock. You've got a direct conflict of interest. Same thing with the senator's HCA holdings. Yet the Senate Ethics Committee said, according to the Senate's rules, we have no problem. Obviously, our conflict rules, our ethics rules are sorely out of date.
We're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to Carmen Balboa, Consumer Advocate, Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumers' Rights. She's joining us from Santa Monica, California. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. We'll be back to talk more about Bill Frist's big bucks. Stay with us.
Calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance, from a car phone, or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof. And that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
Get wowed by Woo! Listen to Debbie Donzie at WGNU.net for women empowering women or wild energetic women or wild.
Right now, the sun is shining, but people are crying. This is Aaron Neville speaking for the American Red Cross. When a hurricane like Katrina passes, it leaves behind massive devastation. This is a country that comes together in times of need. Please help these people put their lives back together. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or go to redcross.org and click donate now. Right now the sun is shining, but the work has just begun. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Since we first asked that question several weeks ago, we've learned that some people can't live without Liz, while others jump for joy about Jackson and Jackson. This is Charles Gere, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis. Send us a postcard or email of 100 words or less telling us why you listen to WGNU. You could win a package of free stuff from your friends at AM 920. Send your postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, 63108. Send your email to cgear@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings continue through Friday, October 28th. One entry per address, one prize per family. One winner announced each day during Today's Solutions with Dave Linehan, Monday through Fridays from 4 until 6. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at wgnu.net.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I know I'm praying for much too much, but could you send back the only man she loved? I know you don't do it usually, but dear Lord, she's dying to dance with my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Carmen Balboa, Consumer Advocate, Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights. She's joining us from Santa Monica. Carmen, Bill Frist has maintained taken the position that he has not known what is going on in his stock holdings, but yet, doesn't he file an annual financial disclosure statement?
He does, and that's the most interesting part of the entire blind trust setup. Senator Frist knew what was in his blind trust because his trustee was sending regular letters to the Senate Office of Public Records to include in those financial disclosures that said, Senator Frist, we've transferred $250,000 to $500,000 worth of HCA stock to your blind trust. Senator Frist, we sold 14,000 shares of HCA from your blind trust. Now, the most interesting part is that the standard financial disclosure form does not include HCA. So the average person who were to go and look for Senator Frist's disclosure forms would see simply blind trust, and they wouldn't know about the HCA holdings. Yet if you dig a little deeper and ask for all of the public documents, then you would discover the HCA holdings. So in fact, Senator Frist knew more about what was in his blind trust than the average person would by looking on the surface of public disclosures.
But the fact of the matter is that when he established this so-called blind trust, he did it in accordance with the Ethics in Government Act. I mean, this is what the Act says that he can do.
Right? It does. It does. And this is where
can you talk
see
to us
a
about
desperate
that?
Need. Sorry?
Can you talk to us about the Ethics in Government Act and what it says that can be done with this qualified blind trust?
Absolutely. I think the most important thing here is that we look at, as far as the ethics rules go, we look at the fact that disclosure rules have made the quote-unquote blind trust less blind, and we have to weigh the public's interest in either knowing exactly what the holdings of our legislators, our congressional leaders are between the value of keeping those interests entirely blind. Now, it would have been very easy for the Senate rules to simply say, once you put your money in a blind trust, you receive no reports about what is in that trust. Unfortunately, those rules provide for reports about transfers to the trusts about increases or decreases in the amounts of stock, and that's where we need to look. We either need to say these trusts are completely blind, that senators have no control over buying and selling what's in them, and that their contents will never be disclosed until perhaps they leave office, or eliminate the concept entirely. So senators must disclose all of their holdings, because if the public presumes they don't know what their financial interests are, yet in fact they do, there's more damage done than just knowing from the beginning.
And I get, which would be worse, Carmen? I mean, or which would be better for us, to know every single stock that they hold and hold them accountable for that, or these blind trusts that really appear to do more to protect him than to inform us?
Unfortunately, the situation with this one is that it absolutely did. I think that we have such a rash of millionaire senators, and the Senate is now populated with millionaires, that
more people are millionaires than not.
Exactly. More millionaires in the Senate than there have, to my knowledge, been before, and certainly more millionaires than not. And we're in a day when so many of those holdings end up in the stock market that it would be unlikely to convince every senator to get rid of every stock with which they had a conflict of interest when they were voting. And as we talked about, when a senator with pharmaceutical holdings is voting on a bill that would directly financially benefit the pharmaceutical industry, well, that's a conflict. Multiply that conflict by the many, many bills that the Senate will vote on in a year, and you see where the difficulty lies.
But I think, couldn't that a difficulty simply be addressed by the amount of money that you have in the stock? If you have over $1 million in the stock, you can't vote on it. You know, I mean, would a financial limitation deal with that?
I don't think so. What if you had $995,000 in that stock? Would there be any less conflict than $1.5 million?
No,
I don't think so. What I think we see there is either we allow this to continue and require senators to continue to disclose these conflicts and have the public decide whether or not they approve of the conflict, or what is likely a better solution, update and strengthen the blind trust rules in order to ensure they are completely blind, that senators do not control them, that senators cannot get reports on what's going in and what's going out, that once the trust is established, the senators have no control over their contents and can act without the knowledge of financially benefiting or hurting their own interests on legislation. They should be acting for the public interest without the specter of their own financial interests hanging over them. I think the only way to do that, particularly with this slew of millionaire senators who will continue to have stock holdings, is to make those holdings completely blind.
And as I look at the Ethics in Government Act, it says that one of the things that it says is that communications between the trustee and the politician must be limited. So they can be talking.
Absolutely.
You know, and that there are no restrictions on disposing of the trust assets.
Now, this is, I think, one of the most important overlooked aspects of Senator Frist's trust, was that when he created the trust, and there were actually at least more than five, because both his wife and his three boys also have them. He specifically directed the trustee. He acknowledged that his holdings were heavy in HCA stock, and he specifically directed the trustee to do what looks like to me not sell the HCA stock. So the uh, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but it essentially relieves the trustee of the responsibility of diversifying the trust. Now, any average person would assume that if you put money into a situation that was heavily weighted towards one security, you'd diversify it. Mm-hmm. So if that stock took a hit, you wouldn't take huge losses.
Well, maybe he knew something, Carmen.
Well, I certainly think it indicates an interest in holding on to the family company.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we come back.
But he didn't hold on to it in its entirety because he let it go.
Right. Well, and what did we see? But a slew of insiders doing exactly at the same time. The critical question here is, can we believe, because this is what Senator Frist's office said. Frist's office said, in order to avoid the appearance of a conflict, that continues, questions continue to rise. So in order to avoid the appearance of a conflict of interest, the senator decided to sell his stock. What brought that realization to Senator Frist 10 years after entering the Senate, a year after the last decision by the Senate Ethics Committee that he had no conflict? We have been asking the senator to step aside, to step down for years in the medical malpractice debate, yet he refused to acknowledge he had a conflict. So either Senator Frist had a massive change of heart and realized that his votes have been conflicted for many, many years, or there's a much more serious ethical lapse here.
I think he could have both. I think that he could have taken the position that, you know what, I will step down when it is the time that it is financially best for me to do so. So that would, yeah, I agree that there is a conflict, but I'm not going to step down until I can make some money in doing so. And that's what it appears that he did. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to Carmen Balfour, Consumer Advocate Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumers Rights. She's joining us in Santa Monica, from Santa Monica, California. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us.
Who had a dream? Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rough, but we got to keep your head up.
Keep your head up.
'Cause in the day will come. And love to the sun, even in the darkness.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Riyadh. OPEC officials say the crude oil market will remain volatile until late next year. They also indicate that increasing oil output will not improve the situation because the major oil-consuming countries such as the U.S. and China do not have enough refineries in operation to handle any additional oil. OPEC's acting Secretary General Adnan Shihab El-Din says a tight market is likely for some time until the major consuming countries see fit to make the necessary investments to increase their refining capacities. And Dateline Albany. Anti-war activist Cindy Sheehan has taken aim at New York Senator Hillary Clinton. Sheehan says she is extremely frustrated by top Democrats such as Mrs. Clinton because they should be leaders on the war issue and are not. Sheehan says it's time for them to step up and be the opposition party because the war will not end unless Democrats throw their support behind the anti-war movement. Activists say they're going to try and convince Cindy to try and run against Mrs. Clinton in the Democratic primaries in New York State next year. Other activists out west are going to ask her to run against Dianne Feinstein in California. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Akbar Electric. Commercial, Industrial, Residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Baby steps. Baby steps. Right. Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues!
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I sucked a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Single game tickets on sale now at the box office, Ticketmaster outlets, stlouisblues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE.
For Paralyzed Veterans of America, Montel Williams.
The events of the last few years have made us all think more seriously about the service, the sacrifice, and the care of Americans' veterans. Paralyzed Veterans of America is dedicated to ensuring that veterans with spinal cord injury or disease receive the best quality health care and benefits, which they've earned. I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America. For information, you can call toll-free 1-866-USA-4PVA.
This is Jim Curran, Curran Events. We're on every Monday nights now from 8 to 10 p.m. On Current Events, we let both sides of an issue be heard. That way we can learn from each other. That's Monday nights, 8 to 10 p.m., Jim Curran, Current Events, right here on WGNU.
Hi, this is Janet Jimenez. Join me on Tuesdays from noon to 1 for Places and Spaces here at Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, 920 AM.
Commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement. Saturday, October 15th, 2005 in Washington, D.C. St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. I'm talking to Carmen Balboa. She's the consumer advocate for the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumers' Rights, joining us from Santa Monica. Carmen, you've talked about how that there are more millionaires in the Senate than not. How does Friss rank amongst his fellow millionaire senators?
I'm not positive, actually. I know he was in the top 10 in the last tally I looked at, but I don't have an exact number. What can give that some context is the holdings, these HTA holdings that he recently sold, using the public disclosure forms and accounts of what was both bought and sold out of those blind trusts. We were able to determine that family's holdings were between $10 and $30 million in HCA stock, and that the sale, early sale, saved them from $2 to $6 million in a fall in stock price. Where that places Senator Frist in the rankings of the entire U.S. Senate, I'm not quite positive, but I know he's near the top.
And when we look at this in comparison to what's happening to Tom DeLay, one of the questions that is raised by the Tom DeLay investigation is some Democrats are concerned that it's too soon. They would have rather the Tom DeLay investigation take a little bit occur a little closer to midterm elections. The timeliness of this Frist investigation, can we evaluate whether it can have any weight on elections or his election? Is it too early to tell?
I think it's too early to tell. I would just note that our organization is a nonprofit, a nonpartisan consumer group, mm-hmm. and one of the big issues that we focus on is ethical accountability, political accountability in politics.
Well, when you talk about those issues, because I'm looking at an article out of the American Prospect, and to have them to listen to the American Prospect weigh in on this, and I just want to read a few mm-hmm. few words from an article written by Terrence Samuel. It says, anyone that thinks that Bill Frist's presidential prospects have been extinguished by a few questions about a rancid-looking little stock sale that may or may not be insider trading is either blissfully naive or a confirmed amnesiatic.
I think that's overstating the issue. I think we have to take into account the fact that Martha Stewart went to jail for making $50,000 on an insider, what she was accused of being involved in an insider trade. Now, she ended up going to jail for lying about it. If Senator Frist had inside information and he knew something that the public didn't when he directed the sale of that stock, then his transgression has been much, much more severe.
Yeah.
And we can't assume that the American public will simply forgive that misstep, even if the SEC investigation does not lead to a prosecution, even if the Department of Justice or the U.S. Attorney don't press charges. I think it's important to know. It's important to note that the senator's squeaky clean image has been tarnished by a more public accounting of the conflict of interest he did have and the possibility of an insider trading situation now.
Well, I would just say that Martha Stewart's a white woman who was in the media. You either loved her or hated her. And I think that it's easier to get at a white woman in the criminal justice system than it is to get at a privileged white guy that's a member of the United States Senate.
Absolutely.
So I think that she's an easier target, although what he has done or what she has done pales in comparison to what Frist has done. So.
Absolutely, and you're right. I think the value of the Martha Stewart analogy there is that Martha Stewart made insider trading understandable to the average American.
Okay.
And because of that situation, Americans know.
I get that.
Know what she did and can compare the magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
Of what Senator Frist is accused of with her actions, but so, you're absolutely right.
So fair enough. I mean, so the American public, while they accepted the what I feel was an assault on Martha Stewart, but they accepted that. But now they're going to make the comparison. Well, if she had to go to jail, why shouldn't he?
Absolutely, and you know, I think you're right about you're right about the fact that it will certainly be harder to bring an adequate investigation, a thorough investigation, a nonpartisan investigation where Senator Frist's influence does not hold sway. However, if we keep our eyes open and keep pressuring, we're hoping that the Senate will appoint an independent observer. And actually, I would urge any of your listeners who are interested in this issue to visit our website, consumerwatchdog.org, where we are asking people to email Senator Frist and disclose exactly how much he made on that early sale.
Now, has Senator Frist or any of his spokespeople, attorneys, I presume, have they said anything since the information of the investigation has been released?
No. Aside from denials, they've released no further information. And I think what the other value of an independent observer appointed by Congress would be that they would be able to report back to both Congress and the American public exactly what was going on, because at this stage of the investigation, Senator Frist's office is saying no more than we didn't engage in insider trading, and the investigations have remained internal. SEC and the U.S. Attorney haven't made any of their findings public.
And you keep referring to an independent observer. This is different than a Ken Starr independent prosecutor, correct?
This is different, and you know, perhaps it will eventually need to come to that. Right now, we feel that Congress can take a step on their own to appoint someone to oversee the process, to watch the process, and report back, letting them know that it is a transparent and thorough investigation. Now, if there's any indication that undue pressure is being exerted at either the SEC or in the U.S. Attorney's Office by the Justice Department, then it will be a different situation, and an independent prosecutor, a Ken Starr style, would be necessary.
And again, what is your website, Carmen?
It is consumerwatchdog.org, and there is an action on the front page that your listeners can go to email Senator Frist.
Carmen Balbor, Consumer Advocate, Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. This is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Tomorrow's St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Some interesting information, some revealing information, some scoops tomorrow. You better make sure that you catch it. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
Tonight, remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you pick a knife and lay back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. President Bush is 30 minutes into a news conference in the White House Rose Garden, an event he began by defending his Supreme Court nominee, Harriet Myers.
She's a woman of principle and deep conviction. She shares my philosophy that judges should strictly interpret the laws.